Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We have an absolutely jam-packed broadcast with just amazingly important developments lined up today as we track what's happening around the globe and here in the United States. It is the 31st day of March, 2011, and we're going to be live here for the next 3 hours at least, and we're going to have open phones as well. Webster Griffin Tarpley, one of our geopolitical analysts, will be joining us as it becomes a mainstream media firestorm discussing the fact that the core of the rebels in the east of Libya that started this whole thing with Muammar Gaddafi are al-Qaeda. And we have the key video posted at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com in a detailed article written by Aaron Dykes and myself, breaking down the entire history of this. And the headline is, Al-Qaeda is 100% Pentagon run. And then I have a comment, a very well-written comment by Rabbit 2000, who commented on the PrisonPlanet.com posting of Al-Qaeda 100% Pentagon, where he takes a little issue with me. And he's right and he's wrong. And I'm right that Al-Qaeda is 100% Pentagon run, but from a low-level perspective, I'm wrong. And I'm going to explain how this works, how people are looking at this from a one-dimensional perspective and not understanding what true full-spectrum dominance is. And Webster Griffin Tarpley is going to be discussing this with us as well. Obviously, the big news first, when we come back from break, low levels of radiation found in U.S. milk. Now, remember, they tell the troops that there's no health problems from DU, even though their own internal army reports say it is a weapon that when fired from any device, any large artillery, small arms, ignites in the barrel, and that you get deadly doses of it every time you use it. But they say now, they wave a magic wand 20 years ago in 1991 and said, no, it's now good for you. I wonder how Ann Coulter and George Monbiot on the left and right are going to feel now that Japan is saying they're bracing for deaths and that there is radiation sickness and that there's been an ongoing cover-up with that. No kidding. When you're getting 1,000 millisieverts of radiation an hour, and that's conservative numbers, if you get 5 hours of that, it's a death sentence. And that's the radiologist and radiation poison specialist that the Washington Post was interviewing 3 days ago. So obviously, if the radiation's so high that they've basically abandoned trying to fix the reactors and may go to dumping concrete on them to try to seal up the meltdowns, what does that tell you? If it's so deadly, workers can't go in there. I mean, do you think that's high radiation? 100,000 times normal levels. As reported since Sunday, 4.5 days ago. So, low levels of radiation found in U.S. milk, Japan's nuclear rescuers inevitable, some of them may die within weeks, Fox News. Continuing, president of Fukushima nuclear power plant operator sent to the hospital. They're not really saying why. I think I can guess. He's been at the plant quite a bit. Radiation levels in seawater off Japan plant spiked to all-time highs, CNN. London Telegraph, Japan nuclear crisis, evacuees turned away from shelters because the medical personnel are scared to treat them because they're so radioactive. Now, I mean, there's the people from the Fukushima region, the prefecture, are so radioactive that they're being turned away all over Japan. Think there's some radiation going on? Oh, it's in our milk, but it's not a problem. It's no big deal. Another headline, Fukushima radiation double Chernobyl outside evacuation zone. That's outside the evacuation zone. The Japanese are telling the kids, go to school even in Fukushima, even in the local area. We're going to come right back and break it all down. Stay with us. Powerful, important transmission lined up today.
He's the T-Rex of political talk.
Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
We are back live. I barely slid into my chair here out there during the break working on things. But we are live. Phil, what's so funny? Phil is out there acting like he... Do what? Close call. You know, we got all this incredibly serious news, and I was out there during the break working on some other news reports that we're collating, and barely made it back in live here, but we are now back in the saddle. Thank you so much for joining us today. They're still laughing. What, did something else happen? Okay. No, just everybody's laughing like I'm Yosemite Sam or something. We are live, ladies and gentlemen. It is the 31st day of March 2011. And we're going to be live here for the next 3 hours. Dr. Webster Tarpley will be joining us coming up, dealing with the fact that it's become a firestorm in the media, and it's being debated all over talk radio now. Mainline conservatives are finally going, wait a minute, Anwar al-Awlaki, the head of al-Qaeda under bin Laden, who runs all the major attacks, is hanging out secretly at the Pentagon, Fox News, Associated Press. You notice we've been beating this drum for months, and now it's finally getting out there. Because everybody's heard me basically talk about this and others discuss it over the years, and we've been made fun of, even though we had the facts. And now they're seeing all these mainstream news headlines about, yes, the core of the fighters are being basically armed by NATO, and they are al-Qaeda, and they are attacking Gaddafi. And yes, the airstrikes are killing civilians, but this is liberty. And people are going, wait a minute, al-Qaeda is now the good guys? So coming up in the next hour with Webster Griffin Tarpley, we're going to break all of this down today. Now, in the meantime, shifting into obviously the most important news, we're going to be going over the radiation now being picked up in milk here in the United States. We're going to get into Walmart CEO Bill Simon expects inflation. Inflation's already here, my friends. We're also going to get into farmers and seed producers launch preemptive strike against Monsanto. We're also going to get into the fact that they're claiming that they are going to avert a government shutdown with Congress. But why even worry about a government shutdown? I mean, why not just have the president run everything and be a dictator? I mean, he already ordered military strikes because the UN gave him an order and didn't even consult Congress. And we already have the unelected SPP, Security Prosperity Partnership for North American Integration, in a EU merger board, setting most of our policies with Canada and Mexico and trade in the North American continent. So why is it even an issue here to have the president just do whatever he wants? See, that's the issue, is that we're just being trained to accept a dictatorship of the presidential power and the bureaucracy, and it's wrong. So that's coming up today. But we have seen in the last, coming up on 3 weeks tomorrow, we have seen since March 11th, an ongoing cover-up by the Japanese government. For 2 weeks, the Japanese government would not release any radiation numbers from the two prefectures or the two states surrounding the Fukushima 6 reactor facility. Yesterday, they reported another reactor 7 miles away is now smoking and may be on fire. Most of the emergency personnel were pulled out more than 2 weeks ago. The U.S. military pulled back to 200 miles away 2 weeks ago. Last week, the U.S. military said they may begin forced evacuations of U.S. personnel and citizens. And we've gotten many calls on and off air saying that indeed the U.S. military is going to addresses of U.S. citizens and telling them to leave. Major corporations, major media outlets from around the world, France, the U.S., you name it, have completely pulled out of Japan. The government announced 2 days ago that it's a maximum alert, the greatest alert since World War II that they have been under. We know that at least 5 of the 6 reactors have either completely exploded. 2 of the internal containment vessels have been breached. At the number 2 reactor, now going back 2 days ago, or a day and a half ago, plutonium and uranium has leached out through the broken vessel from the huge explosions and fires and has melted through the concrete floor and into the water table below. That's why they're reporting 100,000 times safe levels of uranium, plutonium, and all the other deadly isotopes of cesium, radioactive iodine. It is incredible. And our media is mainly focused on Libya, mainly focused on NCAA, mainly focused on issues of little or no significance. And because this radiation is invisible, it's being played down. But we know a huge cover-up has taken place. And we know as of a week ago, radiation had already gone from Japan over the Pacific, over North America, over the Atlantic, first reaching Iceland, then England, and now Western Europe, going into Eastern Europe, and will soon go all the way around the globe and pass over Japan again via the trade winds and jet stream. It is in the jet stream. Thank God most of it is raining down in the Pacific before it gets caught up in the winds in the lower atmosphere and carried into the jet stream. But it is circling the globe. And if you put a radiation detector out, you only get slight increases in North America and in Western Europe. But that's because it's the general increased background radiation. I mean, here's an analogy to boil it down. If you're driving down the highway and you go, whoo, I smell a skunk. Well, that's not 1/1,000th of what it would be like to walk out in your backyard at night to throw some trash in the dumpster, in the trash can, and your dog runs out behind you and scares a skunk, and the skunk sprays you and the dog. That actually happened to me many years ago. Now, let me tell you, being sprayed directly by a skunk is obviously, conservatively, 1,000 times more intense actually being sprayed by a skunk that you've startled than when a car has run one over an hour before and you just drive through and get a whiff of it. And so basically that's what's happening is the detectors are just barely picking up the skunk stink. You ever smelled a skunk from really far away and you're like, that's a skunk. It almost kind of smells good. A lot of finer French perfumes actually use a little bit of skunk musk in them to carry the scent to the olfactory nerve. They attach other smells to it. That's one of the French perfume maker's secrets. So we're just getting a whiff of Pepe Le Pew's radioactive stench. Japan is getting a full frontal 100,000 times safe levels spray of the skunk in the face. But the problem is this skunk doesn't spray once. For 3 weeks tomorrow, it's exploding, burning, belching out the radioactive skunk stink, and it's going out over the Pacific, and most of it's going in the water. Then it gets into the krill. It gets into the diatoms. It gets into the plankton that is then eaten by the krill, eaten by the shrimp, eaten by the crabs, eaten by the smaller fish. The anchovies, then eaten by the tuna, then eaten by the humans. And it bioaccumulates all these different radioactive isotopes and toxins, because even if some of these isotopes decay quickly, they're still very poisonous even when they've already decayed. And then you're going to be eating that fish, and the media guaranteed is going to tell you, don't worry, we're not even testing the fish. Remember what happened going back more than 2 weeks ago, just a few days into this. Aircraft were coming in, commercial aircraft into Dallas, San Francisco, Chicago, and they were doing radiation testing. Now they're not even doing it. And the Geiger counters would go off the chart on their shoes particularly. And they just said, go, it's fine. We're not going to have emergency scrubbers that every city has for homeland security, NBC attack, nuclear, chemical, biological. We're not going to, sorry, we're taking your clothes. We're giving you, you know, something new to wear. You got to go in this decon. We're going to scrub you off, you know, with this soap. You got to get as much of this off. They're not sending the shoes and clothes to a nuclear waste dump. They're just, come on in. Come on into America. You know, they'll confiscate your pocket knife, or they'll confiscate your bottle of water, or they'll confiscate your laptop and download the contents onto it without a warrant, which the courts have ruled they can't do, but they don't care. They don't stop. They're going to stick their hands down your pants. But when you get off an airplane and they had Geiger counters and they showed serious levels of radiation, nothing's going to happen. And they're just going to let that on out to the public, because that's part of the policy of, okay, it's in the milk. Okay, it's getting into the vegetables. Don't worry about it. Okay, it's in the fish. Don't worry about it. It's low level. It's not bad for you. Just like they tell the troops with depleted uranium. And they've got Ann Coulter on the fake right, and they've got George Monbiot on the socialist left calling for world government, saying, hey, we like radiation. The people of Fukushima, Ann Coulter's out there saying, should be happy. They're not going to get cancer now. Fox News, Japan's nuclear rescuers, inevitable, some of them may die within weeks. What did the plant head, when he broke down a week and a half ago, say? When he started crying, he said, no, there is super high levels of radiation. This is going to kill a bunch of people. I can't lie to you. Oh, guess where he is now? The guy that broke down, president of Fukushima nuclear power plant operator, hospitalized. He's been out at the plant. They're saying, well, we're not going to really say why, but it's high blood pressure and stress probably. Yeah, sure. And there's other reports here that the Japanese government's not releasing info, just like they did with radiation detectors for a few weeks, on exactly what's happening with people who have radiation sickness. But medical facilities and shelters in the southern area of Japan are refusing the evacuees because of fears of radiation. We'll just send them to America. Here we say radiation isn't bad for you. Liberty movement is coming against the banksters. Don't you know that it's time to get on board? The globalists sit above the nations and play us off against each other. That is the definition of true full-spectrum dominance, the secret of the New World Order's paradigm of control, coming up in the next segment when we document that Al-Qaeda is a creation of the military-industrial complex, and the latest on Libya. But continuing with the incredible news out of Japan and the United States, here's the San Francisco Chronicle, low levels of radiation found in the U.S. milk. Now, remember, in 2 weeks ago, it's almost 3 weeks tomorrow, but a weekend to the disaster, the Japanese government was still saying very low levels of radiation, nothing to worry about, but not releasing radiation levels from the two states or prefectures around Fukushima. When they finally released it, it was 1,600 times, 10,000 times, and now, as of Sunday, 100,000 times safe levels, and we have seen clear evidence of cover-ups at the hospitals with reports of the citizens upwards of 50 kilometers away getting red-faced, vomiting, bleeding gums, radiation poisoning. Now we're seeing the articles. We're seeing the head of the plant break down a week ago and cry, or more than a week ago, and say that I can't be part of the cover-up. People are going to die. Now in the news today, Japan's nuclear rescuers, inevitable, some of them may die within weeks. Workers at the disaster-stricken Fukushima nuclear plant in Japan say they expect to die from radiation sickness as a result of their efforts to bring the reactors under control, the mother of one of the men tells Fox News. And that's the same calls we're getting. The vomiting, the bleeding in the mouth, it first hits your gums, fast-growing cells. You ever burned your mouth eating pizza that's too hot and it like heals in a day, but your regular skin wouldn't? It's the fast-growing cells of the intestines and the mucous membranes in the sinus and in the mouth, ladies and gentlemen, and other areas, other delicate areas of the body. The so-called Fukushima 50, the team of brave plant workers struggling to prevent a meltdown to four reactors critically damaged in the March 11th earthquake and tsunami, are being repeatedly exposed to dangerously high radioactive levels as they attempt to bring vital cooling systems back online. I'm going to say this again, because this is what every nuclear physicist we've interviewed has said, from Dr. Busby, chemical physicist, Dr. Bob Bowman, 3 degrees in nuclear physics, former head of the Star Wars program, and many others that we've read in the mainstream press, that yes, background radiation in Europe and North America where this stuff blew over is only a little heightened, but that's the general background radiation. If 1 microgram of plutonium or uranium that's been splattered all over that area and ejected into the sky gets on a spider web, the upper atmosphere, they have plane tests routinely. They send planes up 30, 50,000 feet, and they have scoops, and they pick up spider webs, pieces of dirt, things that get into the atmosphere. You see, that stuff gets airborne like a kite and blows up. Trash bags, things, pieces of plastic. That can then, pieces of seaweed that dry and then get into the atmosphere, that blows over. And so the Geiger counter, and we've seen this now with the different radiation monitoring stations, they'll suddenly go from only a little bit of radiation to bzzz a lot as the piece of highly radioactive material blows by. And then it's like, well, we did get a spike. We keep seeing these spikes, and they go right back down. That's because it's localized. It's only little bitty pieces of this stuff that's actually making it over here. And so that's why you're seeing certain detectors showing higher levels, others showing no increases, others showing just a general increase. That's why this is happening. Now, remember, we have heard over and over and over and over again that it was only low radiation in Japan, and it turns out that that was a cover-up. The Russians in 86 with Chernobyl, same story. Governments behave the same, deceptive, whitewashing, manipulative, because they'd rather not have liability for these big corporations that built these plants. They'd rather not have politicians that have been pro-nuclear getting in political trouble. And there's really not a lot they can do about this, so they're just going to tell you everything's fine. Very low levels of radiation turned up in a sample of milk from Washington State, exactly where we predicted it would make landfall, according to the meteorological reports. The Environmental Protection Agency and the Food and Drug Administration said yesterday, but federal officials assured consumers not to worry. Well, you know what? We're only buying milk that's locally produced right now for our children, even though Texas has gotten some of it in the winds, in the satellite reports. The FDA said such findings were to be expected in the coming days because of nuclear crisis in Japan, and that levels were expected to drop relatively quickly. Really? More radiation's coming out. We're just getting radiation now from a week and a half into the disaster. It's admitted the higher levels came after that and are now belching forth as we speak. Okay, so running back through these headlines, Washington State is reporting radioactive iodine in the milk, but the FDA saying, don't worry about it, it's not going to hurt you. This was to be expected, and we expect the levels to drop. My friends, the facts are, going back now, it'll be 3 weeks ago tomorrow, when the tsunami and earthquake, first the earthquake, then the tsunami hit and devastated the Fukushima 6 reactor facility. And 5 of the 6 have either exploded, have breached cores, have fully melted down. Reactor 2 was damaged and had a crack in it. That has now melted and basically poured out and melted through the floor. The London Guardian reported on that yesterday, and there is almost no U.S. media even talking about that. And so the fires, the explosions, the smoking, the meltdowns, it's only intensifying. They've gone from 20 times safe radiation to 100 to 200 to 1600 to 10,000 to 100,000 as of 4 days ago on Sunday. Now, does that jive with the FDA saying we expect the radiation to go down now? No, that's not what's going to happen with the jet stream and the trade winds going right over Japan with those reactors on their east coast coming in the highest levels from northern Mexico through southern California, northern California, Washington, Washington State, Canada, and Alaska. That's where it's heading. That's where we said 2 weeks ago we expected to see the first radiation in the milk would be in Washington. I said that on air. Why? Because meteorologists said the jet stream tended to dump in at a lower level on the West Coast along that mountain range, and then it would precipitate higher levels out from Southern California and that mountain range, the high desert, all the way up through the mountain ranges and the hill ranges there on the coastline. That's why you get so much fog in Los Angeles and so much smog is because you got those hills and mountains on the other side of the city, the ocean currents and the ocean stream and the jet stream comes in and then builds up and stacks up against those mountains. And it does it all the way up the coast, and that's where you're going to get higher levels of radiation. But they're saying, oh, don't worry, we expect it to lower. It will not lower. I mean, if these plants continue to explode and burn and smoke and put out higher levels of radiation, on average it takes 7 to 10 days for it, depending on the speed of the jet stream. You have to forecast that, but 7 to 10 days, according to all the meteorologists, for whatever happens in northeast Japan to reach us. So, we could expect in the next 3 to 4 days getting those higher levels of radiation here. It will obviously dissipate into the Pacific Ocean. So, low levels of radiation found in U.S. milk, they're saying, don't worry about it, it's going to go down soon. Total lie. I would absolutely expect, I'd say it's 100%, because those trade winds and jet stream haven't changed, that it's going to go up in the next week to 2 weeks. Continuing, Japan's nuclear rescuers, inevitable, some of them may die within weeks. The head of the facility, who's been at the facility, is now in the hospital. They won't really say why. President of Fukushima nuclear power plant operator hospitalized. They give some vague thing about blood pressure. Radiation levels in seawater off Japan plant spiked to all-time highs. That's out of CNN. Continuing, Japan nuclear crisis. Evacuees turned away from shelters. Hundreds of people evacuated from towns and villages close to the stricken Fukushima nuclear plant are being turned away by medical institutions and emergency shelters as fears of radioactive contagion catch on. Hospitals, doctors, nurses are refusing to treat people who, when you put a Geiger counter to them, the Geiger counter ticks up. And I think that violates their Hippocratic Oath. You signed up to be a doctor, to be in rough situations, but I can't really judge them because I haven't been in their shoes. But I will tell you right now that this shows you that some of these people have been around radiation 100,000 times safe levels, and they are walking dead, many of them. They are also walking dead that do spread the contagion of high radiation. So we're going to break that down more coming up in the next hour. Fukushima radiation, double Chernobyl outside evacuation zone. And Kurt Nimmo has a detailed report linking to the New York Times and Japanese reports. The radiation level in the ocean near Fukushima, near the plant, keeps rising. It is now 4,385 times, up from 3,000 plus times what it was yesterday. It was 3,000 and change yesterday. Now it's 4,385 times what is considered normal. This is a significant increase from the yesterday report of the radioactive iodine-131 isotope found in water that was 3,355 times the regulatory limit. Japan officialdom does not consider this a problem. They explain that the isotope loses half its radiation every 8 days and should dilute over time. Trace amounts of radioactive cesium-137 have been found in anchovies as far away as Chiba near Tokyo. And it continues with that information. We will be breaking that down. Japanese are now protesting all over the country, some even ramming the gates of the Tokyo Power Electric Company with a car. They are saying that they want answers. They're holding up signs that say, we need the truth. So the Japanese are starting to get angry. It takes a lot to get them mad at their government. France urges worldwide nuclear review after Japan crisis. That's so they can control the whitewash. Japan has even more nuclear reactors than France has more nuclear reactors than even Japan. So that's all coming up. Now I want to shift gears into Al-Qaeda. What is it? What's its history? Who created it? We have a video along with a detailed article at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com that it's vital to get out to everyone you know. The headline is Al-Qaeda 100% Pentagon run. Now, that doesn't mean the low-level grunts know this. They actually have a false enemy built for them that they fight. Our grunts don't understand this. Al-Qaeda grunts don't understand this. But at the top, they are being financed by the globalist to bring down the liberties of the West, but also as a pretext to invade the Middle East and Central Asia. And I'm going to break this down. Then we're going to get Webster Tarpley on to go over it more because it's finally really starting to catch fire. More and more mainline conservatives are saying, whoa, Alex Jones is right. The head of Al-Qaeda is dining at the Pentagon. They are being funded. The West was already in there months ago setting up this rebellion against Gaddafi. We're going to go ahead and go to this 9.5-minute report titled Al-Qaeda 100% Pentagon Run. Here it is. The system thinks you're stupid. They think you're morons. And I'm about to cover one of the biggest examples of this in modern history. One of the biggest hoaxes I've ever seen. Anyone who's followed the news for the last few decades, anyone who's researched admitted mainline history, knows that Al-Qaeda was CIA created with the backing and support of the Saudi Arabians and the Israelis, as well as Pakistani intelligence. Zbigniew Brzezinski's written two books bragging that in 79, they created the group, had them attack the Russians to get them to then invade Afghanistan so that the Soviets could have their, quote, Vietnam. This is a fact. And the Muslim brigades being controlled by British intelligence goes back to Lawrence of Arabia. And then Hitler took over the Middle East during the first few years of World War II, and they went over to his control. But the hoax is that in the attack against the Serbs to take over Serbia, it was admitted Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden running those operations. And then NATO came in and bombed all of Serbia, and they were forced to give up one-third of their land basically to Albanian-backed Muslim rebels who were calling themselves Al-Qaeda. Then, of course, we have the attacks of 9/11 and the Newsweek headlines about hijackers trained at U.S. bases and the dean of the Defense Language School coming out and saying that they were trained at U.S. bases. And then you have the Times of London as well reporting on the airlift of evil. Months after the Afghanistan war started, U.S. military and British military captured thousands of top Al-Qaeda and Taliban commanders, and they would be ordered to release them and fly them out into Pakistan to start the next wave of destabilization. So Al-Qaeda, on record, is a CIA slash British slash Israeli slash Saudi Arabian creation. And they're used all over the world. And then you add to that Fox News, AP, last October 2010 reporting, Anwar al-Awlaki, the guy they're now saying is more powerful than Osama bin Laden, trained in the U.S., ran the underwear bombing, the Christmas Day event, ran the Fort Hood shooting, ran the Times Square attack, the list goes on, the shoe bomber. He's always handling these patsies, and it turns out he's secretly hanging out at the Pentagon when he's been on the most wanted list and getting orders and having dinner with the Secretary of the Army and top brass while he's on the news as the head of Al-Qaeda.
Julie Kurtz joins us from Washington. You've got to be kidding me.
Yeah, here's what we know. Fox News has learned that Anwar al-Awlaki, the American Muslim cleric, remember him, with a worldwide following, dined with military brass at the Pentagon within months of the 9/11 attacks.
Now, you add to this hoax now that the openly Western-funded rebels in the east of Libya, and I'm not saying Gaddafi's a good guy. The point is the West overthrew Egypt and its own puppet to the east of Libya. They've brought down Tunisia. Now it's admitted that British special forces were inside eastern Libya even before the latest rebellion started. So Al-Qaeda rebels, and it's admitted that the head of the Libyan rebels was trained by the CIA for decades in Virginia, and he admits that he's working with Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda. And so I have to get up here and either say no to this hoax and expose the facts or say I'm a bad American. Because I refuse to say that now Al-Qaeda are freedom fighters and great people. I must refuse to be ignorant and not face the facts of history. But the average gullible person out there who buys into the system will make the decision to say, oh, I guess Al-Qaeda's good. It's like 1984. We've never been at war with East Asia. And the next day, we've always been at war with East Asia. And if you pointed out that, well, you said we were at war with them yesterday, but we're not at war today, and that we were never at war, then you get arrested in that system. And that's basically where this country and where the West is going, where the system thinks we're so stupid that Western intelligence is in the east of Libya using radical Muslim Al-Qaeda backed out of Saudi Arabia and arms out of Saudi Arabia and Egypt to destabilize Gaddafi. Gaddafi then fights armed force trying to overthrow the government, and our media calls them protesters. Protesters who had tanks and missile launchers and Western weapons. Oh, the poor protesters. And the media lied and said he strafed protesters. Turned out that wasn't true. The media lied and said that he'd run to Venezuela to try to give the rebels support, think they would win. It doesn't mean that there aren't groups in Libya who don't like the goofy dictator Muammar Gaddafi. But Muammar Gaddafi is independent and has tried to build a strong Africa outside of the New World Order. And that's why he must be brought down. He doesn't have an international private central bank running his country. They have their own central bank. And that's why the system is doing this. And they think we have no memory where they're telling us Al-Qaeda's horrible. We've got to take all your liberties in America because they may attack you any minute. The end of the Bill of Rights. Freedom is dead. America surrenders and gives up all its rights to Homeland Security to keep us safe because of Al-Qaeda. But then Al-Qaeda, who wants to overthrow the secular Arab leader, Gaddafi, is being brought in to do this. And then we're being told it's humanitarian and we've got to bomb them and attack them to protect them. I mean, think about it, folks. Anwar al-Awlaki, the number one guy under bin Laden, secretly hanging out at the Pentagon. The Taliban and al-Qaeda being flown out to safety in the first few months of the Afghan war to start the next crisis. Al-Qaeda being used to attack the Serbs. When the Serbs fight back, oh, it's humanitarian, we've got to bomb them. They just move al-Qaeda around all over the world, call them humanitarian freedom fighters if anybody resists them, and then the UN and NATO comes in and bombs the daylights out of them. But at least with the attack in the 90s against Serbia, they went and got congressional authorization for force. At least Bush with his illegal wars, because they were still wars of aggression, but he went and got the Congress to sign off on it, wasn't engaged in that form of brazen treason. Obama, less than 48 hours after the UN gave that resolution to invade, openly, in front of everyone, he ordered the U.S. military to start bombing and firing cruise missiles when out in the open, the UN had given the order, and Obama hadn't even consulted Congress. This is a huge issue that's taking place here, my friends, and I hope you'll research the fact that Al-Qaeda is an arm of the globalist. Al-Qaeda is an arm of the New World Order. Al-Qaeda is a system that the New World Order uses to menace civilizations into giving up their liberties in the name of protection, and also to go stir up revolutions and wars to then pose as freedom fighters so the globalists have an excuse to come in and take over countries. This is 21st century imperialism. And Al-Qaeda is the key set piece on this game of chess to bring us into the world government. They are a creation of the private banking cartels who are waging wars against the nation state and all basic liberties that defend the rights of the indigenous populations of the nation states. Al-Qaeda is CIA, is MI6, is Mossad, is Saudi Arabian intelligence. And they've caught British SAS dressed up like Al-Qaeda shooting at police in Basra to get Sunnis and Shiites killing each other. I mean, Al-Qaeda is the Swiss Army knife of destabilization. They are that magic go-to tool that's used to foment the crisis so the globalists have the excuse to offer the solution. We've broken down one of the biggest modern ongoing hoaxes in history where you're un-American if you don't support the freedom fighters of Al-Qaeda. Well, I don't support them, and I don't agree with what Ronald Reagan said about them, saying that they were founding father material. I don't like Al-Qaeda. Now, you may hate me because I don't love Al-Qaeda. I'm not going to apologize. I'm sorry. I hate Al-Qaeda, and I hate their handlers even more. ask yourselves, what are you doing in this time of great challenge? What are you doing to unlock minds? All right, folks. We are back live. Thank you so much for joining us. And that was powerful audio for radio listeners. But when you watch the 9.5-minute video, every statement I make is congressional reports, mainstream news articles, admissions, Brzezinski's own book. Aaron Dykes did an off-the-chart job again. He did a lot of the research. I did a lot of it. We print up the articles before I do the breakdown. Then he has them all to put in the video. When somebody watches that, and this video is freaking people out, it's free on YouTube. Get it out to everybody you know. We put a lot of hours in, I'd say collectively 20 hours in the last 2 days, into putting together that 9-minute video to really break it down. But still, we've only broken down one facet. And later, after we've had Tarpley on for 30 minutes, when he leaves us, I'm going to explain that it's real, but it's not real. You see, the low-level Al-Qaeda operatives are criminals, psychopaths, jihadists who believe they're fighting the West, the great Satan, in their mind. But their master controllers actually were funded and created by the globalists and are protected and hang out at the Pentagon. So see, the Al-Qaeda really is killing our troops. But that's because the empire has to have an enemy to fight. That's full spectrum dominance. They create the entire military universe, the enemy and the responder. We're going to continue with the globalist secret stratagem of controlling both sides of a conflict and how they, throughout history, have carried off this masterful feat. Really, in the last 200 to 250 years in Europe is where the system was developed by the banking cartels to finance both sides. This is just a more sophisticated form of that. So the grunts in the U.S. military or the NATO military, they don't know that Al-Qaeda is being financed and protected by the globalist. On record, and the low-level Al-Qaeda, the young, poor men that they recruit out of Palestine, they recruit out of Libya, Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, Afghanistan, they're not aware of it as well. And many of the young men they capture, they then take to torture centers and recruit them to then be the leaders of Al-Qaeda. And I've been telling you that for years. It's come out in the news. The main rebel leader was captured and put years ago in one of these torture brainwashing centers and now openly works for the CIA. That's all over the news, and we have links to that in the big article that we wrote that accompanies the video of the same name, Al-Qaeda, 100% Pentagon run from the top. And that's why the head of Al-Qaeda, the number two guy, the media announces he's number one operationally, Anwar al-Awlaki, is secretly hanging out at the Pentagon with the Secretary of the Army. This is reality, ladies and gentlemen. And it's so over the top, they know the average person can't deal with it. Kind of like when they blew up Building 7 in front of everybody and had police say, get back, they're blowing it up. The news said they're blowing it up to protect other buildings. Nobody asked, how do you wire a building so precisely during an emergency in a few hours when it takes regular firms weeks or months? Then they blew it up and said, oh, it fell on its own. But we said, but you just said you blew it up. Again, this is all in your face. They think you're too afraid to face the facts. This is mind control. This is psychological warfare. But it's not even our government doing this. It's rogue synthetic terror elements. And, of course, Tarpley has written the book that we carry at Infowars.com. 9/11 synthetic terror that breaks down with all the documents how this is done. We'll be talking to him about synthetic terror and how these networks work coming up at the 8 after second segment of the next hour. That said, we are listener supported. When you support our sponsors, when you support our local AM and FM sponsors, when you sponsor our local stations, please support them. Also, we have two new books, Jesse Ventura's 63 Documents the Government Doesn't Want You to Read. His best book to date. They just get better and better. This sucker is a page turner. You cannot put it down. Government-sponsored terror, drug dealing, torture, white slavery, it's all there. Just every subject you can imagine. 63 subjects covered. Big Brother, The Orwellian Nightmare, incredible new book by Mark Dice. Only place you can get it, Infowars.com. When you get these two books together, already discounted, you can get a free film that I produced or directed of your choice, like Invisible Empire, Police State 4, Endgame, Obama Deception, free $20 DVD with the books when you get the two books. And we're almost out of these, and then he's got to print more, and that may take a month or two. Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places by Joel Skousen. Incredible full-color coffee table book, Infowars.com, to order that. And lastly, we shipped out almost all the potassium iodate we had. We sold it all in 3 days. The guy shipped it out in the next 3 days after that, and we waited till all the orders got out. Any that got broken got reshipped out, or any that, you know, got lost in the mail. We have a very limited supply. I expect them to be gone in literally a few hours of this potassium iodate. It's 20 adult 10-day doses, 200 doses total. It'll treat 20 adults, more than 400 children, but you don't take it yet. It's good to have in your medicine cabinet. Consult a physician. We have limited amounts of this available at Infowars.com. It just went up on the shopping cart at Infowars.com. Very limited, probably gone in the next few hours, and then that's it. We've talked to all the suppliers. They're all completely out all over the country. So limited supply that we held back. Selling it now. Should be gone in the next few hours. Infowars.com, potassium iodine, available right now. And the new rad stickers that are only $5 a piece. Little radiation detector that's $5. Those will sell out as well. Infowars.com.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, a lot of really good things are happening. Obviously, a lot of really bad things are happening as well. But now, hundreds and hundreds of mainstream news articles, London Telegraph, BBC, Washington Post, New York Times, Fox News. Why is Al-Qaeda commander dining secretly at the Pentagon? Why is Al-Qaeda, the core group, being armed? I mean, they admitted 4 weeks ago SAS was arming the rebels. Now the head of NATO rules out arming rebels, rules out ground invasion, says this isn't a war, the bombing, but that there will be some humanitarian troops they're looking at helping on the ground. Humanitarian bombing, humanitarian DU, humanitarian troops on the ground. We're going to be walking through that with Webster Griffin Tarpley, doctor of history, also a degreed economist. Graduated, of course, top of his class from prestigious university. Very intelligent guy. Written the unauthorized biography on Obama 3 years ago that's proven to be the treatise on him. Wrote the unauthorized biography on George Herbert Walker Bush. By the way, all those books are available at Infowars.com, discounted. But he's coming up in a few minutes. We're going to get back into what's happening at Fukushima. Low levels of radiation found in U.S. milk. San Francisco Chronicle, Associated Press, Wall Street Journal also reporting on it. Japan nuclear rescuers, inevitable. Some of them may die. The head of the plant is in the hospital. Fukushima 50, death unavoidable. The Japanese government is saying it's going to be a lot more than the Fukushima 50, unfortunately. Radiation levels in seawater off Japan have now gone up to over 4,000 times safe levels. Japan nuclear crisis. Even hospitals are refusing people from in and around Fukushima because of the higher levels of radiation on their bodies and clothing. Of course, when these people fly into the U.S., radiation detectors go off. Homeland Security says, come on in. In Japan, the doctors are like, I'm not going to treat you. You're so radioactive. Here, when they get out of the country and come here, it's like, come on in. They're also lying big time. The Food and Drug Administration is saying, well, there is some radiation in the milk, but it precipitates out in the large cows and then precipitates out in their udders and their mammary glands. They're now running around saying, well, that was radiation from a few weeks ago that got here. We think it's going to go down now. Well, the radiation that blew over here from a few weeks ago that's now gotten here and then gotten into the food chain, that's from the early leaks and the explosions. Now there's full meltdown at least reactor number two. It's melted out from a crack in the containment facility through into the ground. It's smoking up into the air. It could go completely Chernobyl. Mainstream news was reporting levels of radiation at least double Chernobyl. So what do you think's really going on here? It's incredible. And I just mentioned earlier that I was looking for potassium iodine for my family because the stuff I had was over 10 years old and you weren't supposed to, you know, if we needed to take it, we couldn't. And we found the third biggest manufacturer of the pills. They have the raw potassium iodine, 200 doses for an adult. That's 20 adults.
for 10 days. And we held back some until everything was shipped out to make sure that we had enough. We've got limited vials of potassium iodine in the original form that basically lasts forever. In the pills, it degrades. This, I've been told, basically lasts forever. Kind of like honey lasts forever. They've gotten honey out of Egyptian tombs you can still eat. And we have a limited supply because they're out of them now. We bought a limited supply of these rad stickers that pick up the radiation levels. We're basically buying these for what, like $3 a piece and selling them for $5 because they're sold out, ladies and gentlemen. So again, we have a limited supply of these rad stickers. And this all started because I was looking for this for myself and found right under our nose in Texas, the only, place that had these. I mean, they are the exclusive distributor of the third largest brand of the pills, the only distributor of the raw potassium iodine out there, and the only U.S. distributor directly from the factory of the rad stickers, and we got a limited supply of those. I expect them to be gone in hours, if it's anything like a few weeks ago. And so this is it, because the rad stickers are sold out everywhere, from the supplier. The potassium iodine is sold out. Infowars.com or 888-253-3139. We're limiting these to five per person because the supplies are so limited and we wanted to get out to everybody. So again, 888-253-3139 or Infowars.com. We'll be right back with Dr. Webster Griffin Tarpley. I'm Alex Jones.
Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Dykes and I have spent the last 2 days in deep research, codifying all of our previous research and the latest developments, putting it into a detailed report. Al-Qaeda, 100% Pentagon run at Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't real jihadi, Al-Qaeda, psychopaths, criminals, dupes, miscreants, misfits, misguided loons that are attacking. But Al-Qaeda, according to Brzezinski, who founded them in 79 under the Taliban, it is the name of a CIA database of jihadi fighters from all over the Middle East and Central Asia, who then are funded and financed through spy handlers like Amir al-Awlaki, who was brought up in the U.S., Pentagon trained, secretly hanging out at the Pentagon, Associated Press, Fox News, Reuters. It's all there. So I wanted Webster Griffin Tarpley, who's been doing a stunning job and is the true omnibudsman of understanding this, to go through their history. And we'll take the whole hour if we have to go through their whole history, who they are, what they are. But yes, when they suicide bomb someone, it's real. Those guys believe in what they're doing. When they go into a CIA base in Pakistan and blow up a bunch of people, it's real. And you notice that guy last year that blew up a bunch of CIA people in Pakistan, he'd been one of their double agents. Many of them are trained, they're picked up in different areas of the world. They're taken to torture centers. Then they're recruited and put out as commanders. The Reuters and others and BBC, it's just all over the news now, are reporting one of the main rebel leaders admits there's 1,000 Al-Qaeda fighters under him and that he was picked up years ago and taken to a U.S. black site, ghost site, and then released. Many of these leaders, it turns out, were picked up, then released, and then go out as double agents to lead. The SWAT guy, it came out in the London Telegraph and BBC in 2006, a year after the 7/7 bombings, that he was the guy who ran the attacks, but then he was allowed to fly in and out of England to Africa and back. And when the lower level Scotland Yard wanted to arrest him, MI6 said, no, he's ours. The underwear bomber, brought on board the plane by the sharp-dressed man, didn't have to have a passport, didn't have to have anything. He got a visa from the U.S. When the visa office got in trouble, the Assistant Secretary of State, Mr. Kennedy, said, look, I was ordered by an unnamed U.S. intelligence agency to give him a visa and help him get on the plane. Just as Kurt Haskell, the lawyer, and his wife, who witnessed all this, had said on this show first. Okay? Amir al-Awlaki, the CIA lackey, handling the Fort Hood shooter, handling the shoe bomber. On record, the government says it's him. And they won't release to Congress the hundreds of emails from him and the psychiatrist Hassan of Fort Hood infamy. It's just like the FBI, even mainstream news in the last year has admitted, you know, that the FBI, if you just type it into a search engine, FBI creating terror, FBI creating groups. And it's not even Muslims or Arabs. It's generally guys with Anglo last names or Hispanic or African Americans who get recruited into Islam in prison. And they don't go join some Al-Qaeda group. The FBI comes as Al-Qaeda, sets them up, gives them dummy bombs to create this perception of terror. So what the CIA and high-level Pentagon is doing is one level more sophisticated. Because I saw a comment, and then we're going to Webster, but I want to preface this. I saw a comment on the PrisonPlanet.com version of the posting of Al-Qaeda 100% Pentagon Run by Rabbit2000. And he said, Alex, we're getting it in the pants from Al-Qaeda. And there's these other military guys saying, we know we're not allowed to catch them or capture them. And there's some truth to this, but why would the Pentagon want to have its own people killed? Don't they want to win? The Pentagon wins because it works for the offshore banks by funding the commanders of Al-Qaeda and other groups to attack as a pretext to go in and get the $500 billion a year in opium out of Afghanistan that went from 10% of world production of opium before the takeover in 2001 to over 93% now. You could type that in, you know, 90%+ of opium now coming out of Afghanistan, to the weapon sales, the pretext to destabilize Pakistan. I've had the former head of Pakistani intelligence on to break that down. When 8,000 Taliban and Al-Qaeda, Cream, Times of London, Newsweek, Airlift of Evil, were captured 2001, 2002, they would be ordered to release them, pay them money, gold, the international currency, and fly them out on C-130s to Pakistan. Okay, and the media tried to spin it like it was Pakistan, but it was our own military doing it. This is how they're operating this. This is how the globalists get their wars. Their business is war. Remember, about 15 years ago, there was a famous case of a guy in Manhattan who ran and advertised and ran the biggest windshield repair shop. And he had a team of four guys who went out every night with ball-peen hammers and busted people's windshields. And then guess who had billboards and signs up? Get your windshield fixed for the lowest price. It's very simple. The globalist bankers want to take our liberties. They menace us with Al-Qaeda. They want to overthrow Gaddafi. They put in Al-Qaeda. They want to overthrow the Serbs. Say it's humanitarian. When the Serbs fight back, they bring in Al-Qaeda. They want to get the Russians to start a war with them. Bring in Al-Qaeda, 1979. The media tells you that, you know, we got involved in 82. So Webster Tarpley is going to break this down for you from the history right through what's happening today to understand what's going on here. Webster, you, of course, have authored the seminal book again, when I read it 5 years ago, 5 years ago when it came out, I'd already separately, the reason I could confirm it was all so accurate and took me to another level, though, and taught me something, was separately, I'd seen all this in government documents that are public, mainstream news, all there, but never put together in one place like 911 synthetic terror made in the USA. And the former head of German intelligence, Andres von Bülow, and former minister of research and technology said 911 synthetic terror is brilliantly and most sovereignly written. One can't stop reading. Webster delivers a devastating judgment. Congratulations. I endorse it wholeheartedly. And it just goes on and on and on and on and on with the people that endorse this book. And so I certainly hope you get it at Infowars.com. But regardless, it is a treatise. It is written very scholarly. But if you read this, you'll understand everything. Okay? And we tried to boil it down in the 9.5-minute video with documents the entire time. Al-Qaeda, 100% Pentagon run. And that's an oversimplification. But the point is, it's globalist rogue network run through the rogue networks in Israeli Mossad, in British MI6, in U.S. intelligence, in Saudi intelligence. So, Webster, you've got the floor for the rest of this segment, the next, then I've got questions, then I want to go into what's currently happening and the larger strategy here, but do you concur with the analysis I just laid out?
Oh, yes, by all means. There's just one thing to point out, though, because people find it confusing. There has been a change, there's been a shift, and it's this. Al-Qaeda is exactly what you say. Under Bush, Cheney, and the neocons, Al-Qaeda was a reason to bomb and invade countries, with the idea that, for example, if you have Zarqawi, right? Zarqawi was a guy who was in an enclave of Iraq that was not controlled by Saddam Hussein. It was defended. It was the so-called Ansar group. The U.S. Air cover, the no-fly zone, protected him. And at a certain point in 2004, I believe it was, when the credibility of bin Laden was getting shot up by various British documentaries and others, Zarqawi comes out and says, I am the supporter of bin Laden and al-Qaeda, and I pledge eternal loyalty. And this was a godsend for U.S. propaganda, because it allowed the U.S. to say, aha, you see, Bush was right all along, al-Qaeda is in Iraq. And, of course, what those people did then inside Iraq was that they went out and killed a great number of Shiites to get a civil war going to split the population so there would not be a united front against the U.S. forces. So Bush Cheney would say, if al-Qaeda is there, we can bomb them, we can invade them. Now, in the case of Obama, with the new Brzezinski strategy, which is different, with Obama, you see, al-Qaeda becomes your infantry. It becomes the U.S. ground forces. The idea, I guess...
It goes back to its inception under Brzezinski, and you predicted three years ago this would be the change in strategy.
It's gone back to what it was at the beginning. When Brzezinski and Robert Gates, the current boss of the Pentagon, when Robert Gates was deputy director of the CIA, as he more or less tells us in his memoirs, he said, we considered creating a CIA Arab Legion to go fight the Soviets in Afghanistan, but then we decided not to. Well, unfortunately, he decided to do it, or he and others. So today, the idea is the United States is so poor, so overstretched, right? We're suffering from imperial overstretch. We can't have an invading force, or these characters would rather not have an invading force. So they say, we'll provide air cover. And the ground forces, the ground troops, our divisions, in effect, our infantry, will be this al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb, meaning the Libyan Islamic Fighting Group, which is an older terrorist organization, which was then sheep-dipped into al-Qaeda. They declared themselves part of al-Qaeda, I believe, in 2007. It was announced by Ayman Zawahiri, the reputed MI6 double agent who essentially runs the show there with this bin Laden who may or may not be there, this troop of actors, whatever it is. So that's the difference. It used to be that al-Qaeda was something that you would bomb and strafe and invade and try to kill and use to create a civil war. But in this case, it's slightly different because now the air support comes in on the side of al-Qaeda. And with that, though, you've got a tremendous contradiction, because in Obama's speech the other night, Obama said, well, I want to salute the American military because they're going after al-Qaeda all across the globe. Well, no, not in Libya, where you're arming them and financing them and providing air support, and not in Yemen, because the group that's trying to overthrow the government of Yemen are basically people who have been recycled through the Guantanamo Bay concentration camp. They've been sent in there. In particular, the head of it is a guy called Shiri, S-H-I-H-R-I, is a Saudi who is in Guantanamo Bay camp there, and they sent him back to create al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, AQAP. And as you mentioned, our dear friend al-Laki, the CIA lackey, has been transferred over there. And al-Laki, the CIA lackey, is just
so they've got the Muslim Brigade commander now in place after doing great jobs here in America for them, especially at Fort Hood. I'm sure he's gotten medals with those dinners with the Secretary of the Army. We'll be right back on the other side of this break to continue to break down this key information with Webster Griffin Tarpley. Okay, Webster, you were getting to al-Qaeda Pentagon commander Amir al-Awlaki, who's run the attacks to help give us the naked body scanners, who's helped attack the troops on record, runs all the attacks so they can bring in their tyranny. They've now deployed one of their top ringwraiths to the area. Adam Gadon, the grandson of the former head of ADL, who was arrested for beating up Arabs in Southern California before he grew a big beard and makes these announcements, always concurring with a new invasion. He's running around. So you were getting into Anwar al-Awlaki, the CIA commander.
Well, these are double agents. I think both the two that you've just mentioned, Adam the American, so-called, and al-Awlaki the CIA lackey, these are double agents, and these are the leadership people. You were talking about al-Qaeda before as the database, right? And certainly from the Pentagon point of view, and again, it's not the whole Pentagon. It's the people inside the Pentagon who are part of that Wall Street private network, that rogue network, that invisible government that's been there since Grover Cleveland surrendered to J.P. Morgan back in 1895. It's not the average. The average military officer is going to be a victim of this stuff. And that those are the people that you were mentioning before. So from the point of view, though, of the let's say the CIA terrorist controller, better yet, or special forces guys, or something like this, it's a database. But in terms of the social process that you see sociologically, it's a pool. It's a milieu, right? It's where people go and can be found. It's in cafes or on the internet. And who are these people? Right? You were mentioning before. They're fanatics. They're psychotics. They're dupes. They're misfits. They're mercenaries. Some of them do it for money. Some of them are part of a criminal enterprise. They're common criminals. Some of them are mental deficients. Those are quite common in
these chaos league.
Right? But in the middle of all this are the double agents. And the double agents are the ones who tend then to become the leadership figures because they have the outside support, and the outside support can shape the environment so that these double agents get more power. So the average person, the average rank-and-file member of Al-Qaeda, maybe a fanatic or a dupe or a misfit or a psychotic, he may not know that he's actually working for the U.S. He thinks he's working for some religious cause.
And the ongoing Pentagon bombings in North Africa, in Yemen, in Pakistan, Iraq, Afghanistan, killing whole weddings, that's also a good way to create, quote, Al-Qaeda, i.e. anybody that resists. When they go to join Al-Qaeda, they come into double agent midst to then be directed against the West as a pretext for the defense spending and the new wars. But now the shift back to the 1980s model of also using them as a secret army brigade.
Right. So this is the situation we now have. I mean, the news from the last few days, you've probably gone through it. On Saturday, we have the London Daily Telegraph repeating an article from Il Sole 24 Ore, the main Italian business newspaper. This is actually quite remarkable. Il Sole of Milan, sort of like the Wall Street Journal, sends a reporter to Darna, and Darna is the city about halfway between Benghazi and Tobruk, the rebel heartland, where these anti-Gaddafi people are very strong.
The number one recruiting zone of Al-Qaeda worldwide.
The world capital of terrorism per capita. In other words, 50 or 60,000 people and about one fighter, one jihadi, one mujahid sent to Iraq or Afghanistan per 1,000 population, beating in absolute numbers, sending more terrorists than Riyadh, which is Saudi Arabia, 4 to 5 million people. This little town of 50-60,000 sends more people over there. 85% of them are suicide bombers. And it turns out now that the commander of the town, Hasidi, is this former U.S. POW. He's a former possible Guantanamo Bay inmate, because nobody knows. He says he was not in Guantanamo. He says he was held in a secret prison in Pakistan, but the Libyan government says he was held in Guantanamo, and that could indeed be accurate. And the Italian reporter goes to meet this guy and takes his picture, and the guy says, I sent 25 fighters to go kill the U.S. and NATO in Afghanistan and Iraq. And this is now the person, they want to give them modern weapons. They want to give them a cut of the $32 billion in frozen assets. They want to give them future oil revenue. This is absolute insanity. And indeed, governments around the world, I think there are some cables going into the State Department. Governments around the world, I think, are going to ask the United States, we demand explanations. What in God's name do you think you're doing funding this group of wild, crazy, destructive, sociopathic terrorists and giving them a big chunk of the southern coast of the Mediterranean, this area of Cyrenaica? The other thing that supplements Al-Qaeda in this case is the presence of the tribes, because this is a tribal society. Now, there was a monarchy there, and the tribes that benefited from the monarchy were the Harabi and the Obeidat.
Stay there. Break down the regional situation. Let's look into a wider view of why the globalists are doing this and how we stop it. We'll also briefly look at the economy with Webster Griffin Tarpley. Stay with us. We'll be right back. GCNlive.com.
You are obsolete, Mr. Wordsworth.
A lie. No man is obsolete.
You have no function, Mr. Wordsworth. You're an anachronism, like a ghost from another time.
I am nothing more than a reminder to you that you cannot destroy truth by burning pages.
You're a bug, Mr. Wordsworth, a crawling insect, an ugly, misformed little creature who has no purpose here, no meaning.
I am a human being.
Words, Mr. Wordsworth, that have no substance and no dimension, like air, like the wind.
I don't care. I tell you, I don't care. I'm a human being. I exist. And if I speak one thought aloud, that thought lives, even after I'm shoveled into my grave.
Delusions, Mr. Wordsworth. Delusions that you inject into your veins to make you think you have a strength when you have no strength at all. You have nothing but spindly limbs and a dream, and the state has no use for your kind.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
Mr. Griffin Tarpley is our guest for another segment. Then I'm going to shift gears into financial news as well as looking at healthcare news and the hundreds of thousands dying a year of bad drug interactions, the adulteration of the food, a whole set of subjects. We've got a guest joining us to cover. But I wanted, while we have Doctor of History, Webster Griffin Tarpley, expert on Al-Qaeda, on with us. And over the years, it just gets completely proven that he's absolutely right, that we've been right. I wanted to read, and it's somewhat lengthy, and then I wanted Webster to respond to this. A commenter who was on PrisonPlanet.com in the article titled Al-Qaeda 100% Pentagon Run, or I should say birthed, you know, commanded, created. That's where it started, out of the Pentagon, when Gates was there back in 79, 80. Now, this is Rabbit2000 says, sadly, with headlines like this, and the headline again was Al-Qaeda 100% Pentagon Run, sadly, with headlines like this, AJ will never advance any further with his media efforts or following than he has right now. Really, we're just exponentially exploding, being hardcore, not mincing words, pal. The worst thing is there's a lot of truth to this, but to make a blanket statement like this is official company policy at Lanley is insane. Well, the real secret policy is not the public policy, or not what low-level compartmentalized people are given, bub. It isn't like the CIA has been bloodless in all of this. Folks, they publicly now ship the opium out and put it on Fox News and say it's good. They've got to ship the opium out or Al-Qaeda will get it. The Al-Qaeda fighters CIA is supposedly running as agents and managed to do some real heavy damage in blood to CIA officers in at least a couple of very high-profile operations in Afghanistan against them. You mean when one of the brainwashed fighters sees through it and then attacks? There's been a few cases of that. Again, this is so incredible. If you go back to strategy 2,000-plus years ago with Alexander the Great, he would send in a small force to draw out the main force of the enemy into an area that geographically supported Alexander's main forces. I mean, it's called a gambit. You sacrifice a pawn. It's in chess that the Persians invented 3,000 years ago or more. They can debate. Some say northern Indians developed it. Same area. The point is that you sacrifice the pawn to make your enemy come out in a phalanx that you are going to basically pincer attack. You ever played chess, ladies and gentlemen? You got to think 10, 15, 20 moves ahead. That's what's going on here. And see, those of you in the military going, well, I know we're not allowed to catch them and they're protected and they're always hanging out at U.S. military bases. And when we do catch them, we got to release them. And sure, they're telling us Al-Qaeda's good now, you know, in these overthrows or in these rebel actions, but the Pentagon's fighting them. I mean, the Pentagon wants to win. No, they don't want to win. They are winning by being able to be in these regions and control these oil and opium resources and use it as a reason to take our liberties. This poor guy, you know, he's nice, but he's not getting it. It isn't like the CIA has been bloodless in all of this. The Al-Qaeda fighters and CIA supposedly running as agents have managed to do some real heavy damage. Well, yeah, Alexander the Great might send in 300 horsemen and then to draw out his enemy and knowing they're all going to get wiped out, that's warfare. Of course there's going to be real killing. Of course they have been caught, MI6, having their guys dressed up as Shia, as Sunni, shooting Shiites to get that stirred up as a pretext to stay in Iraq and to destabilize both sides and divide and conquer. Of course troops are going to get killed. They're staging and triggering the wars. They've got patsies working under them. So the CIA's controlled fighters are fighting their own controllers and murdering agents in cheap ambushes? Is that it? Well, if that's the case, the CIA is far greater disarray than I've been led to believe. Disarray? Global domination, pal. Additionally, it makes no sense that the Pentagon would, as an institution, no, it's the leadership, follow anything like this. Well, the whole Pentagon didn't lie about WMDs. A special office of special plans was set up to lie and then, quote, fix the intelligence, as the White House and Downing Street memo show. Wasn't the whole Pentagon, not the secretary, not some army captain in logistics. Additionally, it makes no sense the Pentagon would, as an institution, follow anything like this policy. They are taking it right in the shorts, or far worse than any of the other organizations on Earth, from these jihadi fighters. You mean how they let the troops use DU, that's a slow death? You mean how they sign secret deals to steal their death benefits, Bloomberg reported? You mean, oh, they don't want to hurt the troops? They could care less. Kissinger called them dumb animals. Now we're supposed to accept that the Pentagon as a whole is actually running their own worst and most lethal enemy. Well, they are running them. It's public. Come on, it's laughable. But this doesn't mean it passes the laughing test. And then he goes on, Webster responding to Rabbit 2000. Can you explain full spectrum dominance, how the criminal cartels have to create the enemy through their controllers and their ground troops don't know and our ground troops don't know that this is part of the pretext to control both sides?
Well, I would just direct his attention to what's happening in Libya. First of all, you cannot pitch what your analysis is to U.S. public opinion, because U.S. public opinion is manipulated, it's practically brainwashed, and it's often wrong. So this doesn't matter. You got to look at the evidence. Now, we just had Admiral Stavridis, the NATO commander, the U.S. admiral who is the NATO commander of all the NATO armed forces, and he testified at the Senate Armed Services Committee and said, "We see flickers of al-Qaeda. Flickers. Admiral, go and look in the POW, prisoner of war records, of your own commands, and you will find that Hasidi, the commander of the rebels in the city of Darna, one of the top half dozen cities of this rebellion, was at one time your prisoner of war. He was a terrorist captured near Peshawar in Pakistan. Or if you can't do that, why don't you pick up the London Daily Telegraph or get somebody to give you a version of this Il Sole article, which is the original one."
Alaki is at the Pentagon getting orders.
Maybe they met for lunch. Hillary says, "We have no 100% insight into this." Well, in that case, you better back off then, shouldn't you? It seems to me that this is going to become a huge issue now, and it's good that you're out in front on it. I see this issue of the U.S. supporting al-Qaeda in Libya out of this awful opportunism, right? Because that's what it is. It's the idea that you can somehow control the outcome. What they've forgotten is the Frankenstein monster principle. You create these covert operations, you think you can control them, and sometimes you can't. I mean, if you look at the story of Lenin, or to some degree the story of Hitler, these are, each in its own way, covert operations that escaped from control and turned against the people that had fomented them at the beginning. But now I see inside the United States, this has been on all the cable networks. Hannity is going with it. MSNBC is having to respond to it. And the Russian foreign minister, Lavrov, has made, an important turn towards a sharper criticism of what's going on there after having been in a kind of a fence-sitting position for a while. It seems to me this is going to become a big issue. How do you go into northern Pakistan and kill people with Predator drones and attack wedding parties with the idea that you're attacking al-Qaeda when you're also embracing, arming, financing, and indeed defending with propaganda al-Qaeda in Libya? How do you go to other places around the world and accuse people of being al-Qaeda? As Obama said, we're going after al-Qaeda everywhere, not in Libya, not in Yemen. The mother of al-Qaeda, the little bit of the history of it, the mother organization is this Muslim Brotherhood. Back in the 1920s, the British saw in Egypt that there were strong anti-colonial, anti-imperialist, pro-national, nationalist tendencies in the Waft Party, which was the main political party in Egypt. So they created a brand of very benighted Muslim fundamentalism, which essentially was the rejection of modernity. It was extremism. It was a radical rejection of modern technology, modern institutions, and the modern world. And that's the Muslim Brotherhood, and that comes from the 1920s.
Which is what the globalists want, so that these highly advanced societies that invented mathematics and writing, they can never get on their feet and be independent. This is
exactly
a war against civilization.
Exactly. These are obscurantists. They're anti-science. They're anti-intellectual and all this. Today, the Muslim Brotherhood exists as a British kind of Freemasonry. It's a British masonry which appeals to doctors, lawyers, professors. But in those poor societies, doctors, lawyers, professors often have a very oligarchical mentality, right? They think that they're some kind of elite or patricians, rather different from what we have here, where these people are not so different socially.
They're like a milk nobility.
Okay. Yeah, something like that. They have, you know, pretenses, right? They believe they should rule. Well, out of that, right, you spin off out of that, the second or third generation of that, then can become people who are interested in violence. Notice that the Al-Qaeda ideology is perfect. It's made to order. The Al-Qaeda ideology says all existing Arab states, all existing Muslim states are illegitimate. They shouldn't be there because they're not the caliphate. So therefore, whatever it is, if it's Libya, Algeria, Egypt, Jordan, doesn't matter, they're not the caliphate, therefore they have to go down. So that's, it's a perfect way to have an international movement, and these are indeed international deployments, as we see from this Hasidi. He goes from Lebanon to Syria and then to Iraq or to Afghanistan. It's a perfect way to get an armed movement going against the existing government. Now, in Egypt, it was the golden youth in the square, right? The upper middle class kids who were interested in Facebook and Twitter that were the main forces.
Same thing in Iran 2.5 years ago.
Exactly, and of course there it didn't work. But then when they needed more numbers, they would bring in the Muslim Brotherhood for the big demonstrations. But then, as we see in Libya, if the regime fights back and uses military force against military force, because those guys in Egypt, those demonstrators, they were violent from the beginning. They were lynching policemen. They were burning down the party headquarters, killing people with arson and God knows what.
Well, it's the same thing in Libya. And we don't like Gaddafi, but the point is he's not the globalist pick, so he's better than them. They were attacking. They had armored vehicles. They were attacking government buildings, and our media called them protesters.
Right, and the very important thing to see, these two tribes that I mentioned, the tribes that are the basis of this Libyan Islamic fighting group and of Al-Qaeda, the Harabi and the Obeidat, they're racists. There's a tribal group in the southwest corner of Libya called the Fezzan, and they are either black or very dark. And at the beginning of the rebellion, you heard this propaganda line, that everybody who was black in Libya was a mercenary brought in by Gaddafi to fight against these wonderful rebels. So that meant that if you were from Chad or Mali or Somalia or Eritrea, you were going to be lynched. And they lynched a lot of people. They massacred, I read stories, 50, 60 people in a factory run by a Turk. They were from Chad. The rebels came in, killed them all. You never heard a word about that. These are people who are racist, and this it extends to the black and dark tribes of southwest Libya, again, the so-called Fezzan. If that rebel army ever got into western Libya, the Harabi and the Obeidat would start killing the Qaddafi, that's Qaddafi's tribe, the Megrahi, or another important tribe, the Warfala, and the Fezzan. So there would be genocide. So the UN resolution says we're protecting civilians, and it would actually turn out to be genocide. Interesting story. The woman on the weekend who claimed she was raped, Obeidi. Well, you look at her name. She's Obeidi. What does that mean? It means she's from the Obeidat tribe. And the Obeidat tribe is an elite group inside the Harabi, the Obeidat. So therefore, we have to ask ourselves, what is the story of this woman who comes forward claiming she was raped, and she is from the Obeidi? Is she not perhaps a Jessica Lynch? Is she not another Kuwait incubator babies? Is she not another Neda?
By the way, our media is saying these rebels are like George Washington and are the most loving people, but it's but it's admitted, buried in all the news, that they're just grabbing people they don't know or people they had scores with, lining them up and shooting them.
Absolutely.
And the media's like, and then Egypt last week banned all protests. The media's like, that's freedom. Yes. Yes, tyranny is good, and Al-Qaeda is good. And we're like, no, tyranny's bad, Al-Qaeda's bad. And they're like, shut up, you're un-American.
Yeah, these are not the singing tomorrows of democracy. decency, human rights, and the rule of law. This is brutal, cynical, imperialist, colonialist power politics. And the rebels in Libya are simply the ground forces of imperialism, of NATO. And in the middle of them, a lot of them are, you know, young people from the Harabi tribe and the Obeida tribe who hate Gaddafi. But in the middle of it is al-Qaeda. Now, the reason that the Harabi and the Obeida hate the other group, when there was the monarchy, this area of Cyrenaica, right, when the Italians were there, there was something called the Senussi Order. And the Senussi Order are obscurantists. They're kind of like the Muslim Brotherhood. And they were fighting the Italians. And they got into cahoots with the British, of course, obviously. So that after the fall of Mussolini, after World War II, when the British took over the area, the British installed King Idris, who was from this Harabi, Obeidat, and Senussi Order. And they were the ruling class.
And the British still think they own Iran, that they had the same story. They still think that Libya is theirs. And that's why we saw the British Foreign Ministry a month ago say that Gaddafi had fled to Venezuela and that he was strafing crowds.
Right.
All of that turned out to not be true. But it's fun to be conned again.
Right. So the idea is that the tribes of this Benghazi, Darna, Tobruk area are monarchists. They're not interested in democracy. They have the flag they use is the monarchist flag, and there are pretenders to the throne. There are descendants of King Idris who want to go back and be king, and that's
all right. Webster,
possible.
We're almost out of time. Great job, Tarpley.net. In the minute we've got left, how do you see this unfolding? Not how you want to see it. Right now, the way the cards are being played, it looks like this thing is not going too well. Gaddafi's been repulsing the latest attacks.
Right.
Now they've got troops off the coast. They're saying we may invade, but it's not a ground war. It'll be humanitarian backup.
Right. Well, we know that there have been special forces from the U.S., the British, and the French have been there for more than a month, delivered by a ship. Some of the Dutch ones were captured. Some of the British ones were captured. Obama, we now have this order from Obama saying that the CIA and the special forces can go in. It's rather late in the day. I think it's going to be likely that you're going to see some kind of an invasion by NATO with the U.S. in the lead that will violate the U.N. resolution, which forbids boots on the ground. Of course, the U.N. resolution also forbids bringing in weapons. The U.S. has been smuggling in weapons with the help of the Egyptian junta for probably a month or more also.
And that's why they had to bring down Egypt first, because Mubarak wasn't going along with this, as you said a month ago.
Right. And remember, Gaddafi, last October, Gaddafi kicked out the Western oil companies and brought in the Chinese, the Russians, and let the Italians stay.
Well, Webster,
Gaddafi,
we're out of time.
Some positive points.
We're out of time, but we'll have you up very soon. Thank you for the time. We appreciate you.
Soon.
All right, GCNLive.com, GCNLive.com, Infowars.com, Tarpley.net. Stay with us. This radio broadcast is all about empowering people with knowledge. And 2 months ago, I had Dr. Joel Wallach on for an hour. We had a lot of requests to have him back on. He's a syndicated radio host of course, Dead Doctors Don't Lie for, 15, 16 years. He's been out there. He, of course, is a veterinarian, and he also holds I'll just go over his bio here. He's published numerous books on dietary deficiencies as being one of the main causes of all these increased illnesses and their resultant effects. Dr. Wallach conducts approximately 300 lectures annually to overflowing and enthusiastic audiences all over the world. He sold over 40 million cassette CDs before the internet even got big, which recordings on the lecture Dead Doctors Don't Lie. He obtained a Bachelor's of Science in Agriculture from the University of Missouri in 62 with a major in animal husbandry, nutrition, and minor in field crops and soils. That's why he learned about the soils being depleted, which is now admitted. In 64, he was awarded the doctorate in veterinarian medicine, also from the University of Missouri. Thereafter, he completed a three-year postdoctoral fellowship at the Center for Biology and Nutritional Systems at Washington University in St. Louis, Missouri. In 82, he obtained a doctorate in naturopathic medicine from the National College of Naturopathic Medicine in Portland, Oregon. And, of course, the site where we promote his incredible information is InfoWarsTeam.com, InfoWarsTeam.com. He'll be with us till about 45 after next hour. Then I'm going to blitz through financial news, NATO news, the latest on the meltdown reactor, full meltdown. Will it explode like Chernobyl is the question at Fukushima number 2. But Dr. Doug Wallach, I got a lot of questions for you. I mean, not just looking at the dietary deficiencies, because they say you need 40 plus minerals, but the products you've developed that we carry at InfoWarsTeam.com, like the Beyond Tangy Tangerine, they have over 90 minerals. And I remember separately reading mainline studies years ago that if you don't have these other trace minerals and things, your body then can't fully access the 40 or so that they say is all that you need. It's those trace minerals, trace elements. And I want to go over some of the things that we know. Because here's the deal. I've seen the real statistics. Overall, life expectancy's gone down until the 20s and 30s or so. Around a third in the West of children died by the age of 5. So infant mortality did get better. But if you average out infant mortality, people were living over 84 years on average. Now men, they just downgraded it to, 73 years. Women, 75 to 76 years. It varies every year. So people say, oh, there's not poison in the food and water. The soils aren't, debilitated because people are living longer. Well, that's not really true. If you go to an old cemetery, in many cases, more than a third are children, are babies. So, yes, those developments in regular medicine has gotten better. So that those numbers are averaged out, but you are averaged in. But you take them out, life expectancy is going down. And I want to talk about why that's happening, because from your research, which I work for, a large animal and a small animal vet, they were obsessed. One of them, top of his class, A&M. They were obsessed with minerals, and that was always minerals, minerals, minerals for your cows, horses, pigs, ducks, everything. Minerals, 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 being how to have them healthier, live longer, all the studies about cows, they don't have the right minerals, freezing to death easier when they shouldn't. I mean, you know all this. Explain this to people. But do you concur with my analysis on life expectancy?
Well, Alex, you hit the nail right on the head. In 1990, America ranked 17th in the world in longevity, and at that time we're actually spending more money for healthcare than all the other 200-plus nations on Earth. And today we rank 50th, and we're still spending more money for healthcare than all the other 200-plus nations on Earth. And kind of a fun one is medical doctors back in 1993 when I came out with the original audio cassette tape, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, lived to be an average of 58. Today, medical doctors live to be 56, and I'm talking about primary care physicians and family doctors. And in 2004, the Forbes magazine did a survey on billionaires.
Tell you what, I just introduced you. I want you to, you'll have the floor when we come back for 45 minutes. I want to go through all of this. This is so important, folks, and they don't want you to know this information.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, Dr. Joel Wallach is with us for the next 45 minutes or so, getting into one of the biggest causes from his research and a lot of other research confirming it, being mineral deficiencies, vitamin deficiencies, and the fact that our overall life expectancy is dropping. It's also dropped massively in Russia. And if you average out the fact that infant mortality, at least in the last 80 years or so, has gotten better, then you realize it's when you average that out, that we are living a lot less. You were going over some of those numbers, Dr. Wallach. Please continue.
Oh, thank you, Alex. As we said, the average medical doctor today lives to be 56. And they're supposed to be the holders of all knowledge when it comes to health. Billionaires who can afford to eat the best can afford to hire the entire staff of Harvard Medical School for a little owie on their finger or a cold. In 2004, Forbes magazine did a study on them for longevity and what kills them, and they found out that billionaires die from heart attacks, cancer, diabetes, and stroke, all things everybody else dies from. And there's never been a billionaire live to be 100. And back then, in 2004, the average lifespan of billionaires was 78. Well, just last month, March, I think maybe we're still in March here, the Forbes magazine did another study on billionaires, and they had dropped from 78 in the average lifespan now to 66. So in a seven-year period, they've dropped from 78 to 66. It's a 12-year drop, and there's still never been a billionaire live to be 100. And this is because they leave out the most important piece, which you pointed out very clearly, Alex, that they're leaving out the basic raw materials that the human being needs to maintain itself. You cannot fix a nutritional deficiency with pharmaceuticals and surgery. And you're exactly right. So many diseases we have today are actually physician-caused disease, and I really appreciate the opportunity to bring this up. That right now everybody's yelling about all Americans being deficient in vitamin D3. Well, who caused that? The medical doctors who said stay out of the sun, use these SPF 7 billions, long sleeves, gloves, big-brim hats, don't go out in the moonlit night, do not take vitamin A and D because they'll kill your liver. So it's no wonder every American is deficient in vitamin D3. Now they charge you $300 to test your levels, and then they give you a prescription vitamin D3 for $150 a month. You can get free vitamin D3 standing out in the sun for 20 minutes. Then they also caused another series of diseases, one of which, of course, is Alzheimer's disease. Probably the most severe one is Alzheimer's disease. It didn't exist 40 years ago, even by another name. Today, it's the number four killer of adults over the age of 65. And it's actually a deficiency of nutrients, some minerals and some vitamins, but particularly of an essential fat called cholesterol. When they got everybody on a cholesterol-restricted diet, gave them statin drugs to lower their cholesterol, Alzheimer's appeared, and this is a totally 100% physician-caused disease. It's just absolutely criminal. And they're out running around buying up all the...
And by the way, doctor, I want to talk about this more after the break. Long segment coming up. I remember... because I have an uncle who was in a motorcycle wreck, and he has seizures. And I remember him decades ago reading literature when I was at his house where his doctors were saying, get more cholesterol, because he actually had, you know, a good medical doctor. And it actually did help him starting to eat the really fatty proper diets to not have as many seizures. And that's another example. The brain is, what, 70% water, but almost all the rest of it is cholesterol. It's an electrochemical computer.
Exactly right. Well, actually, it's 75% that your brain is myelin, the fatty insulation material, and of that myelin, 100% is cholesterol. And so 75% of your brain is cholesterol, and so if somebody calls you a fathead, that's a good thing.
Sure, yeah, I mean, sure, of the solid part, most of it's cholesterol. I just meant it is also water. But, I mean, that's the cutting edge of people with epilepsy. They know that, and you were saying this 20 years ago.
That's correct. That's one of the things that brought me to the controversial levels was that in my original audio cassette tape, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, I said back in 1993 that, in fact, Alzheimer's disease was not genetic. It was a simple nutritional deficiency disease, and the entire medical system dropped down on
it. Well, stay there. We're going to break this down the other side. But, folks, you can pull the studies up. Just Google them. You know, high full-spectrum cholesterol diets, increasing IQ. I mean, fat, ladies and gentlemen, is brain food. It is the best energy. We'll be right back.
Are in process of developing a whole series of techniques which will enable the controlling oligarchy to get people actually to love their servitude. People can be made to enjoy a state of affairs which, by any decent standard, they ought not to enjoy.
Perhaps you had better start from the beginning.
Too many kids are what's making the planet worse.
A lot of these kids come from bad gene pools. They don't have stable parents making good decisions.
Mercury-containing vaccines may help, not harm, kids, according to two new studies in the journal Pediatrics. These new studies suggest that the opposite, that the preservatives may actually be associated with improved behavior and mental performance.
Fluoride in water is supposed to fight tooth decay, but could it also cause cancer?
Turns out the government had the right under U.S. law to conduct secret testing on the American public under specific conditions.
We have to work the dark side, or we want to spend time in the shadows.
Any attempt to achieve world order must be the work of the devil. Well, join me. I'm glad to sit here at the right hand of Satan.
There's a need for a new world order. Someday, in the next few years, a solution will emerge.
Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. Back Sundays, 4 to 6. We are here. You have founded the front lines in the info war to awaken the sleeping giant that is free humanity, to set brush fires in the minds of men and women everywhere, to defeat the globalist. And one of their biggest attacks is through the food and water supply. the radioactive isotopes that are mined out of phosphate mines. They call it sodium fluoride and added. Now, major news in Texas, the cover-up of this, now CBS, Associated Press, the fact that they tell you, and Cass Sunstein, the White House regulations are, 2 years ago, put out a report and said, arrest people that don't believe in man-made global warming. That's public. Just type it into a search engine, mainline news, saying how great it is. New York Magazine basically said he's great wanting to censor people. And that's what's needed, attacking me just on Monday with a cover story. He also said that anybody that says you need sunlight, any of it, is a conspiracy theorist. It doesn't matter if they're a doctor. They should be arrested. He said that. That's folks, they do not want you getting sun. And Dr. Wallach, that was a short segment. Before we get into Alzheimer's, And the statins that the media and the governments have now been saying they want to put in the water or make kids even take statins. In fact, Google, government wants to put kids on statins. Are literally destroying the brain, increasing Alzheimer's. But first, let's get in to sunlight and the different vitamins it generates in the body, and then go through the good cholesterols that they're telling you not to have, and how that affects the body. They say you don't need more vitamin C. Basically, scurvy's good for you. You've got the floor. Walk through that situation and why people like Cass Sunstein do not want you to get sunlight.
Okay, well, first of all, even a lizard knows that sunlight is good, right? A lizard goes out and basks during the early morning before the sun gets too intense to get his body temperature warmed up, but also to get vitamin D3. It's free, and everybody lives in buildings all day, and they go, you know, from their house into their garage, into their car. They drive to work into a parking garage. They walk in the parking garage to their business. They go into the parking garage. They drive home at night, go into the garage, go into the house. Nobody's out in the sun anymore. And vitamin D3 not only prevents rickets in kids, which was its earliest interest were, of course, the sunlight. They knew back in the days when coal mining in the 1840s, actually 1741, when they were switching over from wood to coal in Europe, they realized that kids who lived in areas where they were using coal for fuel had rickets, and when they would go out and live in the sunshine without the smoke out in the countryside, they didn't have rickets. They didn't know exactly what it was, but they knew there was something to do with the sunlight.
Basically, we're not supposed to be mole men.
Exactly. And then in the most recent research, in the last 10 years, Alex, we've determined that vitamin D3 will reduce your risk of cancer. It'll reduce the risk of many diseases, including heart disease. And so it's more than just for rickets for kids. It's a global use vitamin that you need every day of your life, just like oxygen and water. So anybody who says you don't need sunlight should be arrested I'll turn around on them. He should be arrested as a Class A felony and be put in jail for 25 years to life without possibility of parole, because he's killing millions of people when they hear nonsense like that. When you have a deficiency of cholesterol, not only do you get Alzheimer's disease and you can get acquired seizure disorders, but you can also get low testosterone, low menopausal problems because you're getting low estrogen, low progesterone. People are exhausted all the time. Now they say, well, my adrenals are exhausted. Well, adrenal hormones are steroid hormones, and 95% of their weight is cholesterol. So you need cholesterol to make adrenal hormones, ovarian hormones, testosterone for the testicles. And so this all this low testosterone, the low T thing, the erectile dysfunction, you see all these ads on TV for all these erectile function drugs in the last 5 years. Those are all physician-caused diseases. And any parent and grandparent who lets their little kids get statin drugs to lower their cholesterol, and there's actually the stated goal of the American Association of Pediatricians is to get all 8-year-olds on statin drugs to begin to lower their cholesterol. They're not going to make it to 25 years of age.
And by the way, while you're speaking, we're putting up major medical research institutions saying exactly what you're saying. UC San Diego Health System, higher vitamin D intake needed to reduce cancer risk. And I hear Dr. Dina Dell, I hear the White House regulations are, who, by the way, is for population reduction, freaking out, assaulting vitamin D as if it is Satan itself. They've got to know what they're doing.
Well, they do know what they're doing. This is what makes it a criminal act, Alex. If they're just ignorant, you couldn't forgive them, but you want to try and steer them in the right direction. But the fact that they know this, you and I aren't the only two people who are reading this information. These guys know it. In fact, they're the creators of it. And so the fact that they're saying what they are doing, they're trying to create more business for themselves. And as a result, they should be put in jail for RICO, breaking the RICO laws. Racketeering laws. It's just on such a massive scale, nobody in their wildest dreams can believe that that's what they're doing. But that's what
they're doing. Well, look, they've got the studies up one side and down the other, literally thousands. Black people or anybody living near the equator has black skin because you get too much sun, and so it basically absorbs it and blocks it. People that live the more north, the lighter you get because you need more sun, so you actually absorb it. I mean, we are creatures that do not, you know, live underground like a mole rat. We live out in the sun. And it literally drives our entire endocrine system, as you know.
You're absolutely right. And to answer to one of your other earlier questions, which is really on the same subject, these vitamins and minerals we need, 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 essential amino acids, 3 essential fatty acids, can be found in your Alex pack, right? I'm very excited about that you've put together this wonderful Alex pack that has all these essentially guaranteeing all your listeners and followers that they can get all these 90 essential nutrients. They can, in fact, Alex, prevent and eliminate 900 different diseases. Most diseases that doctors will tell you are genetic or that are autoimmune disease, your body's attacking itself, these are absolute fraudulent lies. These diseases are all nutritional deficiencies. For instance, diabetes, a couple of pennies a day of a couple of trace minerals will prevent diabetes, and if you have it in just a couple of days, you get rid of it.
Well, no one can deny that diabetes, I've seen statistics of it 2,000 to 3,000 percentage points higher. I've seen reports that they estimate by 2020, more than half the population will have diabetes, that, 80% of Hispanics will? People won't believe that. Guys, Google half the population to have diabetes, and I think it said 2020, but soon half the population to have diabetes. From the numbers I saw just 50, 60 years ago, what was it, maybe 2% of the population?
Exactly right. And of course, the thing that's changed here, the basic thing that's changed, goes back to the way our forefathers lived and ate. Back when you and I were kids, Alex, our granddaddies still had a wood stove, and they were putting that powder, which is left when you burn wood in a wood stove in a fireplace, into the garden. And the powder is not really ashes. It's the minerals that were left when you burn away the carbon in the wood. And then the beans and the tomatoes and corn would take up those minerals. We'd eat that, and we'd get our minerals in that fashion. We'd also put bone meal in our bread. And that's where the old fairy tale Jack and the Beanstalk, when the giant was chasing Jack, he'd say, "Fee, fi, fo, fum, I smell the blood of an Englishman, be he alive or be he dead, I'll grind his bones to make my bread." That's the way they used to do it. Well, we've left out bone meal, we've left out these plant minerals, the wood ashes, if you will, in our bread now. So where are we getting our minerals? It's up to you and me to train people, Alex, so they know they must supplement to get these minerals, because they're not in our food like they were in our granddaddy's day.
By the way, tell folks how old you are.
I'll be 72 in June. And
by the way, you look like you're 50.
Well, thank you. Yeah, most people think I'm 50. Nobody's going to steal an airplane with me on it, I'll tell you that. I'm in pretty good shape. And very few people can keep up with me and you. And that's because we take the Alex pack. I take it twice a day. I kind of overdose purposely because, as you do, I have detractors who would say, "Well, there he is. Wallach died at 300. We knew that nutrition wouldn't work, right?" And so I've got to be a little extra ahead of the curve there. So
I've just started doing it in the last few months, and as people can notice on air, I've had a lot more energy. My brain's been working worse. It's all available if people want to find out more, because it's all in one place. But the guy that really, you know, discovered so much of this, that the system knew, he discovered it, you know, they knew, but he discovered it himself. At InfoWarsTeam.com. That's InfoWarsTeam.com. But, and I want to get into this Beyond Tangy Tangerine and what it's sure. got in it, some of the other products, but I want to continue when we come back from break, going through what some of the other minerals and vitamins, if we have deficiencies in, some of the other things that the system knows that it's triggering, but they want to treat the symptoms of the mineral deficiency. They know full well, and they're telling you with a straight face, you don't want vitamin D. You don't want sunlight. Don't you dare eat that type of cholesterol. What are the best types of cholesterol? I want to get into the Alzheimer's. They're now saying that people are getting Alzheimer's at 30. because they're living like mole people. They're not getting the fats they need that the brain's made of. We'll be right back. There must be some kind of way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief. Dr. Joel Wallach has a passion for warning people about mineral and vitamin deficiencies. And he has been demonized. He's been attacked. And I know with Cass Sunstein, he's a wicked anti-free speech globalist. I don't know about Dr. Dean Adel. So I listen to him and agree with some, disagree with other stuff. But I've heard him say, you don't need the, you know, a bunch of this vitamin D. You don't need vitamins. When I had him on the show once, I said, but people, if they're deficient, need them. And yeah, there are the big drug companies put out these artificial vitamins that studies do show are toxic. So I can't say he needs to get in trouble, but certainly somebody like Cass Sunstein saying you don't need any sunlight and it's a conspiracy theory and we should outlaw this. It's crazy. When put it on screen, you know, earlier I went from memory for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. And I just said, you know, I remember seeing the numbers that half of Americans could be diabetic by 2020. And it said, 80% of Hispanics. And there it is, AOL News. 10 years from now, more than half the U.S. population could be of diabetes or pre-diabetes, according to a newly released analysis by the United Health Group Center for Reform and Modernization. So, see, I don't just say stuff here. My memory's super good. I don't just sit here and agree with Wallach. I've done incredible amounts of research. So when I started looking at his stuff years ago, and then when I got contacted via an intermediary about interviewing him and getting involved and explaining this to my audience, I said, absolutely. Because even though I know all this stuff, I don't follow it all. Sure, I filter my water. I try to eat healthy. But the point is, it doesn't matter how much stuff you eat, even if it's supposedly healthy, if it's from bad soils, and most of it is. And so that's what we're covering at InfoWarsTeam.com. And if you want to call and learn more, it's 877-551-1301, 877-551-1301. You can buy the stuff off the site, or if you want to join for $10, so you get a big discount. It's kind of like joining Costco or something. You're welcome to do that, 877-551-1301, InfoWarsTeam.com. But we're going to plug some of the great products at the end of the interview. This is a short segment, long segment coming up. Dr. Wallach, let's get back in to Alzheimer's and what cholesterol does in the brain, and the fact that just like diabetes is off the charts out of nowhere. Now I've got, in fact, put it in, people won't believe it, young people now getting Alzheimer's or people, you know, in their 30s now getting it. Folks, this isn't normal. All these degenerative diseases. I know the mainline medical institutions. I could pull up thousands of articles and reports. They know that people don't get enough cholesterol. And I put the headline up where the governments around the world want to put statins in the water. Dr. Wallach, break that down.
Well, again, you hit the nail on the head, Alex. This cholesterol thing came in about 20 years before the Second World War. In 1971, I wrote the first paper on it. It was in an international journal, a medical journal, that showed that vegetarians get much higher plugged arteries from cholesterol than meat eaters. And that's because they stir fry with oils, which turns the oils into trans fatty acids, which plug the arteries. It's not the cholesterol. Cholesterol is used for our hormones. It's used to make up 75% of our brain weight.
It's the burning of the fats. It's the burning of them that makes something we're not supposed to eat.
Well, yeah, when you're cooking food, we can actually reduce the risk of breast, prostate, and colon cancer, Alex, if we just cook our meat medium rare. Instead of well done, we can reduce our risk by 462%, according to a big study.
Humans are meant to eat raw meat. All the big colon cancer studies show that it's heavily cooked red meat. I keep interrupting because it's all admitted.
Exactly. It's the cooking. It's not the meat. The meat, you can, like you say, you can eat it raw. It's good for you. It's just, in fact, chunks of meat like steaks, you'll never get E. coli from that. It's always the ground meat when the guys who are pushing the meat through the grinder don't wash their hands after they go to the bathroom. That's where the E. coli comes from. So there's a little bit of hygiene there. But you and I, we could actually eliminate, this is a big one, Alex, we could actually eliminate all diabetes in 30 days in America. We can eliminate it because it's a simple mineral deficiency disease. If we could convince everybody to either on their own or have the government give everybody, you know, 50 cents a day worth of these trace minerals, within 30 days, everybody in America, if they had diabetes, would get rid of it. And if they don't have diabetes, they'll never get it. It's a simple mineral deficiency disease. But doctors make $750,000 by treating you for 20 years. So why would they make $300 to cure you?
Now, explain to people the basic mineral, the minerals that are missing that is triggering so much of the diabetes epidemic.
Okay, well, the basic minerals that are missing are two of them, chromium and vanadium. And if you take those two by themselves, nothing happens. There's actually 23 other cofactors, a mix of vitamins and minerals, amino acids, and the omega-3s that are necessary for those two trace minerals to work. And this is where the disconnect comes from for the average person. They say, well, I ran to the health food store, and I got some chromium vanadium. I took it. Didn't affect my blood sugar at all. It was nothing. Well, that's because they're not taking the other 23 cofactors. And this is where if people take your Alex pack and then they throw in what we call Sweeties, usually within 2 days, I don't care if your blood sugar is 200, it'll drop down to 7.
Dr. Joel Wallach is our guest. Find out more at InfoWarsTeam.com. A lot of our great radio affiliates are signing up with InfoWarsTeam.com and getting involved, getting this information out. Ladies and gentlemen, in fact, put that latest headline up. I told you that they're talking about putting statins in the drinking water, which so many studies we can pull up for you show is causing all sorts of health problems. Statin-fortified drinking water, BBC. This week, cholesterol-lowering drugs called statins have become available to buy at UK pharmacies. Basically over-the-counter, and from the Japanese, British, U.S. government, they're talking about putting children as young as five on statins. Dr. Wallach, if from the numbers you've seen, because I've seen numbers of 2,000, 3,000%, from the numbers in your research that you warned about decades ago, all these different types of diabetes, this epidemic, half the population they estimate in 10 years to have it, already about 30% do. Why is it hitting Hispanics even worse? I mean, obviously corn syrup and things have been shown in studies to be metabolized differently, but something else is going on there, and we know about your research and other research dealing with those minerals and cofactors. Something's going on here. What are the numbers you have on the increases of diabetes?
Okay, well, you're exactly right. Again, Alex, you're on top of it. I'm very proud of you. It's amazing how much you keep up with. But when it comes to diabetes, right now, if you take in pre-diabetics and people who are what would be called metabolic syndrome victims, where they're insulin resistant, sort of just on that cutting edge of being pre-diabetic, we already are at 30%. 90 million Americans have diabetes type 2, if you throw in the pre-diabetics and the metabolic syndrome. 90 million out of 308 million, so we're just about a third now. If you look at ones who are full-blown diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, 32 million, and it's about a couple hundred thousand when it comes to type 1. Type 1s, when it comes to the population of diabetics, are less than 1%. They're not a significant factor when it comes to the amount of money that's being spent, but they are, you know, when you have somebody in your family that has type 1, I can actually help them live beyond 100. And I actually have dozens of people who have type 1 diabetes when they're now in their 50s and 60s and 70s, and they can live to be well beyond 100 if they do everything I tell them to do. It's a diet and a supplement program, but they will be on insulin because type 1 diabetics, by definition, do not make insulin.
And by the way, you got nominated for a Nobel Prize. You learned this basically running a zoos department. But see, the reason when I saw your info, it clicked so well from the vets I've known, because this is taught in animal husbandry, because, you know, this is business. You actually want to keep your animals alive. Tell folks some of the studies about mineral deficiencies and herds dying, cows not being able to handle cold weather, and then you give them the right minerals. I heard this from the vets I worked with.
Well, again, you're exactly right. The project I was on was actually a National Institutes of Health project, National Science Foundation, and this project was a 10-year project. I did over 20,000 autopsies, 3,000 humans, and 17,500 zoo animals of over 454 species of animals. I was working with Marlon Perkins from the old Mutual of Omaha Wild Kingdom days, and the nomination for the Nobel Prize was for being able to pick out birth defects that were thought to be genetic in human populations, which are really just nutritional deficiency during pregnancy. And that's what the nomination for the Nobel Prize was for. I was very proud of that piece. It was specifically for cystic fibrosis. And actually, it's come back now that the National Science Foundation is recognizing me for recognizing kind of one of those discoveries in monkeys at the Yerkes Primate Center in Atlanta, Georgia, where I discovered the first animal models for cystic fibrosis and proved unequivocally that it was, in fact, a deficiency of selenium during pregnancy. My wife and I went to China. We did 1,200 autopsies on kids under the age of 10 who died of selenium deficiencies, cardiomyopathy, heart disease, looked at their pancreases and their lungs, and found out that some 30% of the Chinese kids had actually died not only of the heart disease from a selenium deficiency, but also of cystic fibrosis, which was significant because it was supposed to be a genetic disease of white Eastern Europeans and not Chinese. So the fact that about 400 of these kids had cystic fibrosis.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong. There is a genetic link, but then it's triggered by not having those key minerals, just like boys have a much greater chance, if they have too much mercury, of developing things like autism because they're genetically predisposed, but then you add the toxic metal. That's what then triggers it.
Well, there's all kinds of that kind of stuff. You're exactly right. There's, you know, you have to think, well, here we are, we have these chromosomes, right? And we have all these genes on the chromosomes. It's silly to think that they don't have some impact. They do, how we use nutrition. And there's actually a new science out now called epigenetics. There's a whole science out now where back in the 1960s when I was doing these autopsies and writing articles saying, hey, these diseases have a nutritional deficiency element to them, they're just calling me a fool and a liar and a nut. Well, today they're saying, well, we have a new science now that shows that by supplementing with these nutrients, you can, in fact, prevent a genetic disease from manifesting itself. You can take a disease that was thought to be 100% genetic, and you can give these nutrients. And we're talking about muscular dystrophy. That's an easy one.
By the way, all three times my wife has been pregnant, we go in, you know, we allow the one ultrasound, even though it's probably not good, but at the end of the second trimester, and then they say, let us do genetic testing. And we say no, but and then they advertise, because if we learn what the genetic triggers are and predispositions, there are mineral things and basically pharma, you know, big pharma is now creeping in, kind of admitting this. And saying then you can, we can recommend things you take that then will block that in you or your child. Also, as you know, doctor, more and more, big pharma's coming in and trying to patent vitamin D and then put out a pharmaceutical grade. They're coming in now, with regular, female hormones with women that have, you know, low levels of progesterone, that they would take as a supplement to not have miscarriages. And they're now patenting that and saying they're not going to let the compounding pharmacies, put it out that have done such a good job. I mean, so they've been attacking vitamins and minerals from one end, but quietly, they're trying to take it over and say nobody can sell these but us.
Well, exactly right. I'm the guy that sued the FDA to be able to say that omega-3s can prevent stroke and coronary thrombosis. I sued the FDA on that one, and now the pharmaceutical companies have come out with a prescription-grade omega-3, and it's like 150 times the cost of what ours is. And then you have something like niacin, vitamin B3, which we know will lower your cholesterol levels. They came out with Niaspan now, which is sort of a time-release niacin. They're charging you 150 times what we charge for niacin. And the vitamin D3, as you point out. And it's just kind of interesting that we do all the work, and they poo-poo us and say we're quacks, and then they put a little carbon unit on one end of the thing, insignificant, but they're manufacturing it, so to speak, and therefore they get the patent, and insurance will pay for their clunky little thing that's synthetic and not for the natural stuff.
Okay, now, Doctor, racing through this, tell us from the research, and as we do it, my team can just put it in Google and pull up mainstream news confirming it. That's what we've been doing here if you're a radio listener. But just type in whatever I say, and then you can pull it up for yourself. You know, main line, this is not even hidden. Race through some of the other mineral and cofactor deficiencies that are the triggers or one of the big things contributing towards many of these chronic diseases that are skyrocketing.
Okay. Well, let's say, you know, Elizabeth Taylor just died of congestive heart failure, which is a simple thiamine deficiency, vitamin B1. I get thousands of people off the heart transplant list every year by giving them the Alex pack and throwing in what we call de-stress capsules. Two capsules give you 3,000 times the minimum daily requirement of B1. And B1 deficiency, thiamine deficiency, can cause congestive heart failure and also a disease, a dementia that looks exactly like Alzheimer's disease. It's called Korsakoff syndrome. And so we can get rid of that disease. That one you can get rid of in 2 weeks, called Korsakoff syndrome.
That's right, because they admit that they will mislabel things as new diseases or another disease when they know full well it's a vitamin or mineral deficiency syndrome.
You're exactly right, Alex. And then, of course, muscular dystrophy. We got rid of the animal industry because muscle is meat. And Jerry Lewis is still running around there. I love him. I'm sure the medical system is duping him, that he doesn't realize that for 54 years we've already known the cause, prevention, and cure of muscular dystrophy. That's a simple deficiency of the trace mineral selenium during pregnancy. And then when you go to, again, menopause and the progesterone, there's actually a 150-year-old formula. It's a herbal formula. It was called Lydia Pinkham's back 150 years ago. Today it's called Woman's FX, and you can get it through the InfoWarsTeam.com. It's called Woman's FX. It actually gets women to slide through menopause very quickly, very healthily. They do have to eat about 4 to 6 eggs a day to get enough cholesterol so they can make their progesterone and their estrogens. And then there's erectile dysfunction in men. That's a new disease. That's actually a cholesterol deficiency.
What about thyroid?
Low thyroid is actually a deficiency not only of iodine, but the people forget, Alex, that your thyroid gland needs all 90 essential nutrients that's actually in the Alex pack. And the medical system is focused on iodine because it's the metal that's actually on the carbon chain to make the thyroid hormone. But your thyroid really needs the other 89 nutrients as well. So,
and if you don't have those, explain to people that the thyroid will grab other toxic things in the environment that they use, like in white flour. Break down, if you don't give your thyroid what it needs, what it does.
Okay, well, it'll get goiter. You actually get this huge sort of grapefruit-sized thyroid gland that's non-functional called goiter, and all you have to do is give the nutrients, it goes away. But this is, you've hit the nail on the head again for what's pertinent now, because we're now getting radioactive iodine. This was just on the news on the Fox crawler here that they're finding now radioactive iodine from the rainfall out in our kids' milk, in the milk supply now in the United States from this thing in Japan. They found it today, radioactive iodine, and this will be rapidly taken up by the thyroid gland of these kids and put them at high risk for thyroid cancer. And we have to get these kids to supplement properly with the Alex pack. And I would also throw in what we call Ocean's Gold or Cell Shield RTQ. These are things that have the normal organically bound iodine with plant material. They're organically bound. And once the thyroid gland has those, it will not be eager to take up the radioactive iodine. So it's a protection. That's why I call it cell shield.
So you're saying from your research they don't need generally the big mega dose of the medical grade iodine, that even lower levels will keep it from wanting to absorb as much of this?
Oh, exactly. So if you take these nutrients, the Alex Pack and Cell Shield RTQ, Ocean's Gold, if you take these things every day, then you don't have to worry about this low-grade radioactive iodine.
And by the way, you keep saying Alex Pack. To explain that, when we got together with you guys, and I really believe in it, so I'm pushing it at InfoWarsTeam.com, the Alex Pack is the name of a discounted package of what you believe is basically everything they need. Now, tell folks what's in the Tangy Tangerine, beyond Tangy Tangerine, because that's what my wife and I just love. And I just got it in the house, set it there, didn't even, you know, sell her on it. And she's like, what is this stuff? I'm having incredible energy working out. She's a big workout person.
Okay. Well, usually, you know, the health nuts used to have to take 50 different bottles and take all their different vitamin C, vitamin D, vitamin A, calcium. And what we've done and put it into one product using the same technology that has been used for coffee crystals, so that every crystal is identical. It's not like powder where there's variations in the value of the dust that's in there. Well, this is, every crystal is perfect, and it has 130 nutrients, vitamins, amino acids, and minerals, and it has 115 berries, fruits, and vegetables in it. Think of that, Alex. 115 berries, fruits, and vegetables. Most medical doctors can't name 10, let alone 115. And this gives you the antioxidant points to support your immune system and fend off a lot of these chronic diseases, including things like rheumatoid arthritis, which is an infection, chronic things like irritable bowel syndrome, inflammatory bowel disease, lupus. There's a 41-year-old lady who died in Southside Chicago just a couple of days ago from lupus, a simple mineral deficiency disease. You take the Healthy Starter Pack, which is the Alex Pack, which has the Beyond Tangerine in it. It's got everything you need in there to prevent or reduce your risk of lupus. And so nobody should ever die of lupus. It's not an autoimmune disease. Your body's not attacking itself. It's a simple nutritional deficiency disease that results in a breakdown of connective tissue.
And this so it's really a type of scurvy. They just rename it lupus.
Yeah, exactly. It's scurvy, fibromyalgia, sarcoidosis. All these are connective tissue diseases, including vitamin C, which is the big one for what we'd call...
By the way, two-time Nobel Prize winner, 50-something years ago, Linus Pauling...
Yep.
I mean, he confirmed that megadoses of naturally occurring vitamin C are magic. And I go back to this. The British, what was it, 300 years ago plus, they Limey. Discovered the limeys. They were called limeys because, and the Spanish, everybody laughed at them, bags of lime, they would limes, they would put it in the rum, two parts water, one part rum, knowing that the sailors would only drink it because it was seen, you know, that kind of stuff was bad for you then. But the British... Royal Academy of Sciences, they had secretly discovered this and actually kept it as a closely guarded secret why they made everybody drink limes. So you'd have a ship 10,000 miles away when it met with a Spanish galleon in the trading routes in the Indian Ocean, and they would be able to absolutely smash them because the Spanish or the Portuguese or the Dutch would be laying around half dead on the deck, and the Brits would pull up absolutely in great shape, ready to kill with their sabers in their hands because they were getting the vitamin C they needed.
And also, as a result, Linus Pauling died at 94, 40 years longer than the average medical doctor, although the medical doctors poo-pooed him for taking all that vitamin C. So I'm on your side. I'm on Linus Pauling's side.
By the way, you know he was one of the discoverers of DNA as well, and a top eugenicist. So I guess in a way, they kind of got to him and said, look, don't give the slaves this info. Shut up.
Well, he actually was left out of the Nobel Prize unfortunately, for the double helix thing.
But from my research, he was one of the guys that discovered it, yeah.
That's right. Actually, he came up with it first, and the other guys just confirmed it, and they got the Nobel Prize. He should have gotten it for that.
Yeah, well, and by the way, that's in the encyclopedia, folks, if you want to pull that up. But he did get the other two. He had two he did get, though, correct?
Oh, yeah. His first one was actually for the enzymes inside the mitochondria's his enzyme chemistry. Not vitamin C. And the second one was the Peace Prize when he was against nuclear weapons.
That's right. Folks,
so
we're almost out of
time. Everybody thinks it was vitamin C.
Yeah, we're almost out of time here with Dr. Joel Wallach of InfoWarsTeam.com, the host of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. And you get great products. It also supports the broadcast. And if you want to sign up and get discounts, it's $10. Then you can sign other people up. So it's got that factor to it so we can promote this out. Just like 10, 15 years ago, you couldn't find organic food at a store or organic milk. Now people have demanded it. You can hardly find stuff at many stores that isn't organic. So they're trying to name stuff organic that isn't now because it's so popular. The point is, this is another revolution we can have. We've gone over the evidence. Almost everything Dr. Wallach's talked about, we've put up on the screen, mainstream news recently. He was just saying it back in the 60s and 70s because he was a big researcher, as you heard. I hope you'll get involved at InfoWarsTeam.com. And, obviously minerals and things are something we need. And when you take it in these liquid forms, you absorb a lot more of it than if it's in a pill form. Correct, Dr. Wallach?
You're exactly right. Liquid, and then, of course, the Beyond Tangerine are these nutricrystals. They will instantize. You just put that little scoop in some room temperature water. It instantly goes into solution, and so now you have a liquid, which is predictable.
Absolutely.
And it has these 130 nutrients in it.
Dr. Wallach, thank you so much for joining us. InfoWarsTeam.com or 877-551-1301 if you've got any questions. Thank you, Dr. Wallach. We'll come back with some financial news.
Money.
All right, I want to hit some financial news and a few other key pieces of info here at the end of the broadcast. But I really want to encourage everybody to go to InfoWars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, and get the 9.5-minute video we put together with pure documentation that Al-Qaeda is a creation of the military-industrial complex, just devastating information, and now this is finally becoming mainstream news. Al-Qaeda, 100% globalist, Pentagon-run. That video is up at Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, and the Alex Jones channel. I want this sucker to get 1 million views. Get it out to your whole email list. Everybody you know, great work, Aaron Dykes, putting that together with yours truly. Another report here with the Cornucopia Institute. Farmers and seed producers launched preemptive strike against Monsanto. Lawsuit filed to protect themselves from unfair patent enforcement of genetically modified seed. They plant it next to your farm. Then they come and take samples from your farm. Do they find any genetics? Because plants aren't like you can have one daddy and one mama. A little bit of the pollen gets in, and then it basically in future generations shows some of the genetics as a hybrid. Then they sue you in courts they control and win. Action would prohibit biotechnology giant from suing organic farmers and seed growers if innocently contaminated by Roundup-ready genes. And by the way, in Mexico and Latin America, there is no ancient multi-thousand-year-old corn variety that hasn't been infected. I mean, they've just taken everything over. It's incredible. Other financial news, Walmart CEO Bill Simon expects inflation, USA Today. U.S. consumers face serious inflation, but Obama says it's fine. And they say the recession ended almost 2 years ago. U.S. consumers face serious inflation in the months ahead for clothing, food, and other products. The head of Walmart U.S. operations warned Wednesday, and he goes through all of those facts. Of course, we all know inflation's going up across the board. I mean, but Karl Rove says they control reality. It doesn't matter what the facts are. Continuing here, Europe rates to lead U.S. is global power shift. For the first time since the Bretton Woods Agreement decades and decades ago, when the dollar was made the world reserve currency, Europe is now moving to make the choices that are followed by raising interest rates ahead of the Federal Reserve. After following the Federal Reserve's lead for a decade or more, the European Central Bank is poised to launch a series of interest rate hikes before the U.S. Central Bank for the first time in ECB's history. That means bond buyers, treasury buyers, and euros are going to move away from the dollar as it becomes a bigger plum. The change from the traditional pattern reflects ECB's greater preoccupation with inflation pressures, as well as its higher level of discomfort with the emergency bond buying programs run by central banks. Yeah, the Federal Reserve's monetizing more and more of the dollar, which, of course, is causing the inflation that the head of Walmart is warning people about. All we've got left is that dollar. We've been pretty much deindustrialized with all the regulations and rules and tax incentives to move offshore. And so we're still able to buy all these goods for the service economy. But as oil goes up, it costs more to deliver those. It costs more just across the board at every level and adds cost. And once it starts spiraling, it just gets more and more intense. And we're now entering that phase. And Bob Chapman might be right. Hyperinflation could be around the corner. NATO rules out arming Libyan rebels. An incredible lie from NATO. I mean, you go back 4 weeks ago, they were admitting that they were bringing arms in out of Egypt with the SAS, British Special Forces, giving them the weapons. I mean, it's not a war. It's kinetic military action. We may put ground troops in who are massing in ships off the coast, British and U.S. Marines, but it won't be military. It'll be helping the population. It'll be humanitarian, helping them with weapons and advisors and lasing targets. Continuing, at least 40 civilians dead in Tripoli strikes. Vatican official reports that they've gone and confirmed that that is going on. This from Yahoo News, Reuters as well. It says Yahoo at the top, but then it's actually Reuters. At least 40 civilians have been killed in airstrikes by Western forces in Tripoli, the top Vatican official said in the Libyan capital. And we will continue all of this coming up in 21 hours from now at Infowars.com. God bless you all.